everybody. It's time for a brand new episode of Twin Banter! Oh, today on the show, Oscar wrap-up.
Now, we're not actually wrapping up someone named Oscar. We're talking about the Academy.
Nope.
Actually, more like Oscar abandonment, because I don't even want to think about it anymore.
So Oscar wrap-up, unwrapping Felix.
Hi-o! Good job there, Doc.
Boo. Boo. Speaking of boo, Neil Blomkamp on Alien. Boo. Actually, more like meh.
It's the biggest
could be
meh.
Good.
Yeah, it might be good. I want it to be. Whatever. We'll see. And Spider-Verse. Grand celebration of the spectacular experience that is Kingsman, the Secret Service. As always, a leftover from Reagan's Star Wars program, I'm your host, Richard. One thing us low-class people learn early on is sleight of hand. It's Jason.
That's mean.
It's because you're all dirty thieves.
Manners maketh man. It's Michael.
That's right.
That's ridiculous. He's lower class than I am.
Oi! Bloody Rona.
And you forgot the very first thing. Teamwork. It's Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus, Chris.
Let that fucking girl die.
Yeah, way to let
us
down.
Drowned.
I guess I could have gone with, it's going to grow up to be a bulldog, though, right? That thing was disgusting.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, be sure to let me know about it, and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Plan Banter. Be sure to check it out.
She's totally 80s.
She is totally 80s.
She's got a headband.
I did wonder why she had those separations in her hair, and then I saw the wings, and I was like, oh yeah, duh.
I'm going to keep that helmet on because she looks ridiculous. And kind of badass. Mostly ridiculous.
Bzz, 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 bzz. Yeah, it's like the only piece of armor she has.
The only downside is that whenever she has the helmet on, she only buzzes.
Well, it's so people can't read her thoughts psychically.
Oh, is that seriously it? Like Magneto?
I was just trying to make a Magneto joke.
Oh, okay. Well, Chris, while you were gone, me and Jay saw all of the Oscar movies.
I saw them all except for Boyhood and The Imitation Game. I still haven't watched
You know what's funny
yet.
About the Oscar movies this year is there just wasn't a lot of buzz.
Aha!
Boo!
Aha!
Boo!
I saw...
You've lived with Michael for too long.
None of the Oscar movies except one.
Honestly, I was this way before Michael. I just started to hide it.
Whenever I came around.
Yeah. Because then I was like, oh man, it's not cool.
Now I know how everyone else feels.
Not everywhere.
But yeah.
I almost did a spit take from that.
Yeah, I only watched one of the Oscar movies this year.
Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
Now available on HBO Go. Yep. That's how long it's been since it came out.
And I mean,
yeah.
Why is there a
somebody
last name?
Go.
Why is her last name Castle? I mean, I get Beatrice, but...
Because she's a princess, I don't know. What if she have a normal human name?
She's the alternate reality daughter of Castle on the TV show.
Castispella put her magic on her.
What's his name? Rick Castle?
Richard Castle.
Richard, yeah, Dick. Dick Castle.
Dickie.
But
we watched all the Oscar movies.
Yeah,
we nearly killed ourselves to do it because of the great snowstorm of 2015.
Hey, man, I got 9 days off of school.
That's great.
And I only got five.
Nine days and an hour delay.
Sorry about you. It's pretty amazing there, buddy.
I'm not losing mine, sir.
Oh, you're not?
Nope.
Oh, good for you.
I guess they figured people would riot.
Well, no, there's two counties already in East Kentucky that they're not getting.
Knox County, but Knox County's already missed 20 days.
No. The best is when you know those rich parents are like, we already planned our vacation in May, so we're just going to take them out of school. You get pissed off about it.
I missed 3 days of work, but I got to work from home, so.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
He worked from home.
I actually wasn't scheduled for most of the snowstorm, so I missed 1 day of work, and then when it was clear enough for us to open again, the pipes all froze because we have that outdoor box office, and they exploded.
Nice.
So.
Nice. Boy, outdoor box offices are so smart.
Yeah, which is why they haven't built a single theater with them in probably 20 years, except ours.
Hey, so when are they going to convert it all to
the movie tavern? Yeah. It was supposed to be done by mid-April, and that shit is not going to happen because they have not even found a contractor yet. They are still taking bids.
Oh, hell no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, like, man, I would think it would be done for Age of Ultron, but yeah, no, it's not. It's not going to happen. Like, there's no hope whatsoever.
Speaking of which, what do y'all think that announcement's going to be?
I think it's going to be the Spider-Man casting.
Okay.
What?
Whenever the first character poster came out, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. tweeted the character poster and then said, major Marvel movie announcement in 8 days. So.
Hmm.
I think it'll be the Spider-Man casting.
Man, I don't even know. I hope it's someone I don't hate. I really do. Like, Horseshoe sent me a text. He's like, hey, this girl in Half-Price Books
Horseshoe
was saying... yeah, Horseshoe, John Horseshoe.
Caught crap on Twitter for not calling it. So.
Apparently some girl in Half-Price Books was like, Eddie Redmayne should play Spider-Man. And I'm like,
nope.
Like, guys, I would fall over dead. I would have a cerebral embolism and just collapse. There would just be, like, a trail of blood coming out of my nose. Like, I would die.
Oh, well, he's going to be it, then.
Yeah, I know, because, like, yeah.
It's going to be Josh Hutcherson.
Man, don't say that. What, Logan Lerman?
I was kind of hoping for, sorry, go ahead.
Who, Logan Lerman?
Yeah, I like Logan Lerman.
Hey, I think dude from,
He's the right age.
Dude from Kingsman should do it.
Actually, I would not mind him.
That's what I said last night, Michael.
I know.
Taking my pick, you son of a bitch.
I know. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow. Mother. That actually looks really good.
It looks good, huh?
The dude from Kingsman is who they're talking about for the Han Solo movie.
No.
Yes. The young Han Solo movie.
Why could you get Logan Lerman for that? Then
yeah,
I don't have
Logan
to care.
Lerman for that, yeah. Put Eddie Redmayne in that, which if it's Eddie Redmayne, like, I'm flying to Hollywood and killing him because he's 4 years older than me, so.
Is he 4 years older?
Yes.
Wow. He started kind of late then, huh?
He went to Princeton, man. He didn't start late at nothing. Like, he just woke up one day and he's like, you know, I'm sick of living entirely off of my family's money, so I think I might do this acting thing.
Yeah. Let me give it a shot.
Yeah, like...
Anyway, yeah, I'm kind of curious if they're going to do Peter or Miles or...
I don't know, and I don't care at this point, whatever. Like,
maybe they'll do Ben Reilly. Maybe Kane.
Maybe it'll be Spider-Girl. It'll be May.
Spider-Gwen.
But, yeah, you'd think Sony would want that for their weird spinoff with Aunt May that they were planning, but now apparently are not.
But, I assume that was that Spider May that we saw.
Spider Ma'am.
Yeah, Spider. Yeah, Spider.
Weirdly enough, that is not the.
Oh
yeah,
my god,
that's not the first time that's shown up. But yeah, I watching all eight of like the Best Picture nominees or whatever, not really anything else except like the best animated feature, where I haven't seen Song of the Sea, but I guess I will subject myself to
one day. Is it out on video yet?
It is in the end of March, I think.
Yeah, let's watch that.
Ew.
You know what Spinnerella's favorite band is? Dead or Alive.
They spin you right round, baby, right round.
Boo. But
I thought she would like the spin doctors.
Well, hey, they didn't
the
buy her flowers.
The B-52s.
We're way off the B lady now.
That's pretty good.
I can't see what you're doing.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The B-52s.
But did her crown come off?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Because it spins.
Because it spins. Yeah, I read an article about how, like, well, the crop of this year's Best Picture nominees is really excellent because they're reaching out to, like, minor art house films.
Oh, it was a horrible crop.
And I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I don't really think someone who has the mainstream success of Wes Anderson to this point is making an art house film.
Yeah, that's not art house.
And, like, no offense to Whiplash or anything, but, like, it did not seem like an art house film.
Wait,
nor did Birdman... Nor did Selma, nor did Imitation Game.
Which ones did Chris not see?
Imitation Game or Boyhood.
In Boyhood.
You didn't watch Boyhood?
No, not yet.
Man.
Boyhood was the only one we had to watch at home.
Yeah.
We saw all the others
in theaters.
Because
we saw the others way earlier in the year.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I didn't watch the ceremony. Part of that was because I was at work. Part of that was because I had nothing to root for, like, at all.
I watched it.
I watched it and Fastlane at the same time.
What's Fastlane?
WWE. The WWE pay-per-view.
What the fuck?
They were...
I didn't do that.
We were over at Blaine and Erica's. They were watching the Oscars, and I had Fastlane up on my phone, so I was just going back and forth, like, between commercial breaks and stuff, keeping
up. Did they
up.
Throw cars at each other?
No, it's the fast lane to WrestleMania because it.
Oh, I get it.
WrestleMania was only 35 days from Fastlane because normally WrestleMania is in April and it's like pushing closer and closer to March.
Sometimes it's in March.
I know. I'm just saying.
WrestleMania 19.
Okay.
13.
Okay. It was like 100 years ago. Okay. Nobody remembers that shit.
I remember it.
I know you do.
Like your age.
Oh, good. An old man joke. How I've missed those. Son of a bitch.
Well, what did you think of Whiplash, Chris? Because it was kind of winner by default, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I thought it was.
I really loved Whiplash. Actually.
I thought Whiplash was the best of the crop.
I really wanted to love it.
I liked whenever he
it was
won
really good.
Best supporting actor, and Neil Patrick Harris went bum 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 bum. he won an Oscar. Bum 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 bum. For
did they do that?
Farmers Insurance.
He did.
Oh.
I thought Neil Patrick Harris was really good.
Neil Patrick Harris was a great host.
He's very funny.
The opening sequence was fantastic.
Yeah, I liked all that. I didn't like the magic trick. I thought it was dumb.
What was the magic trick?
That was about as much as he could get away with doing, you know. It was, he had an envelope sealed in this box that had predicted what was going to go on, who the Oscar winners. But instead of doing an actual Oscar winner list, it was little inside jokes on everything that had happened during the Oscars. So it was, you know, it kind of fell flat.
Aww. It wasn't very funny, but yeah. He was great otherwise.
He was fantastic.
He said something like, she was born the year that I lost the Golden Globe.
Yes.
And it was, I don't remember which actress it was at this point. It was some chick. She's kind of old though.
He was also very, they both deserve to be here. And it was Jennifer Aniston. It was people who had gotten snubbed.
Yeah.
I forgot who the guy was, but...
Was it David Oyelowo?
Yes, mm-hmm. David Oyelowo, yeah.
Who... Man, like, I kind of knew, like, Birdman was going to win because, like, my life is just terrible, and everyone is under the impression that is an amazing movie, which... We never talked about it, Chris. I don't think you'd seen it last time we talked.
I got some stuff I got to say about Birdman, actually.
Sweet.
Okay. Visually... A very beautiful movie.
Yeah,
I can respect the technology and what they used. Like, I totally understand it winning Best Cinematography.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. I can totally respect, you know, the whole one-shot thing. Apparently, that's the big thing with this guy that won with Gravity. You know, it's the same guy that did Children of Men, Gravity.
Yeah, you know, it's the Tree of Life guy.
Huh?
It's the Tree of Life guy, Emmanuel Lubezki or whatever, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, and like, I really enjoyed Michael Keaton in it. I thought he was good. I thought that Zach Galifianakis was like one of the understated, or not the under, one of the people that could have gotten nominated that might should have, because I thought he really took a big departure for this movie and he was really good.
I thought all the performances in it were really good.
But at the end of the day, I didn't care about the story. That's my piece about it. When I was watching it, like, I find myself like, oh, I'll pause it for a while and get up and go do this, you know, go run, you know, like, oh, I need to go do this out in town, you know, that kind of thing.
Getting restless.
Huh?
You started getting restless?
Yeah, I started getting restless and bored.
It's not a very long movie either, isn't it? Only like 109 minutes. Like,
when I watched Whiplash,
oh man, it feels like a 7-hour tour de force. No, I'm just kidding.
When I watched Whiplash, man, I could not, like, you know, I was mesmerized by watching Whiplash. You know, just had to stay, had to watch it all in one sitting, even though I watched them at home, you know. But ultimately, like I said, I just didn't care about the story. And I realized, oh, it's, you know, analyzing the theater and New York versus Hollywood and blah, 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 blah. And I just don't care.
Sort of. Like, they say that, you know,
yeah,
at the same time, like, the movie's whole thing is like, this is what bugs me about the movie, is it's basically Inarritu saying, nobody appreciates the kind of art I make, and if they do, they don't appreciate the way I think they should. Which, like, yeah, that's not, like, you're right to say the way people are supposed to interpret your stuff. Like, you kind of just are letting it out into the ether.
That's the point of art, but
hey, what art is.
What do you know, right? He knows better. He's the one that's been nominated for a billion Oscars and still thinks that no one cares about him.
Yeah, I don't understand him saying that nobody appreciates him, because he's only made 5 movies and 4 of them have been up for either Best Picture or Best Foreign Film, which Best Foreign Film is harder to get than Best Picture.
Yeah, you're competing
because you're competing against an entire country plus every other country in the world.
Yeah, exactly. That's a pretty hard
except
category.
Except us. Like, it is far more difficult to break into it. Every time he's made a movie, it's been in there, with the exception of 21 Grams, which was still up for every single acting nomination.
Yeah, and was up for Globes.
Yeah, like, the guy is very much not, like, he's not like David Lynch, who's been working forever and has never, like, been nominated for anything. He's not like, I don't know, David Mamet, who I don't ever think has had, like, any major nominations except maybe some Golden Globes or something.
I think he got a screenplay for
I was about to say, I bet he got a screenplay. Ross.
Oh, okay. But, you know, like,
let me look, I'll double check.
David Mamet's had plenty of Tonys, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. Like,
he probably just has a closet full of them.
I was fine with the movie for the most part. Part of it I want to blame on just, like, it being, like, literally possibly the worst audience in the history of any movie I've seen, other than that horrible racist woman in Lone Survivor. But, like, when he goes to talk to the critic in the bar, like, I just really hated the movie. Because that scene dares you to talk shit about the movie. You know, because it's like, if you say anything bad about it, you're a hater and you don't understand art and you don't understand the risks it takes because you're not a performer and you don't know what we go through.
So all those guys is like, the number one thing you'll hear against a criticism of any sort is like, well, let's see you do it.
Yeah.
You know, right?
Did I talk about that thing in Big Eyes where they have a scene that's very much like that?
Yes.
And then this Terrence Stamp blows Christoph Waltz off. He's like, oh, that old chestnut. Yeah, you're a joke.
That old
and just
chestnut.
Walks away. It's pretty great. But, yeah, I don't know. That, and, like, the movie is, like, weirdly, like, sexist in how, like, every single woman in it is just an expression of what, like, Michael Keaton wants, which I know that the movie is, like, centered around him. At the same time, the only time we see women doing something that isn't interacting with him is they're making out.
Yeah, making out.
It's just like, well, because, you know, bitches are crazy.
So they are, like, of course.
Like, that's the joke. Like, you're supposed to laugh at that because, you know, women, they are just fucking lunatics.
They're hornballs. They'll
do
anything.
What the hell? Like, they have no self-control.
Yeah, like,
we'll just make out with anyone. Who cares?
A woman who...
Yeah, Boyhood's not terrible.
No, I thought Boyhood was all right.
Like, it's basically like, I liked Whiplash, but not as much as I wanted to like Whiplash, and I enjoyed Selma and was impressed by it. Like, the way I talked to David about this was, it was 2 movies from really interesting newcomers, and then a bunch of below-average stuff from people I like, and then Birdman and Theory of Everything.
What did you think about Theory of Everything?
Oh, it's fucking
horse
terrible.
Shit.
It's
horse
a fucking
shit.
Terrible movie, and it's they should
it's
be
shameful.
Embarrassed.
It's a shameful movie.
It's embarrassing that he won Best Actor. Like, there's a scene in that movie, which do you guys care?
It's I've not, seen it.
You Chris can't spoil it. People's lives.
Chris
but,
saw you know the part with the pen.
Yeah, the thing when he gets out of the chair.
Yeah,
in like a press conference
that's
and
shameful.
Picks up a pen. Yeah, that I mean that's like yeah, that's it. That's shameful. Like it is the most maudlin, manipulative, fucking insulting bullshit I have ever seen.
I thought you were going to talk about the part where the girl was showing him the porn.
Oh no, actually I like that. It was like the one moment where someone was allowed to be human in that movie.
Yeah, I thought that was all right.
It was very humanizing, even though apparently like his second wife like beat him or something.
Which is funny. What's really interesting about that is the romance between the Hawking and the second wife or whatever is like
yeah, it's a lot more believable than like, him and the other.
Yeah,
one.
And you
or
know
him and Felicity.
Yeah,
Jones.
In about 5 minutes, you're like, well, okay, I get it.
Yeah,
that's
it.
Way better romantic storytelling.
And ostensibly the. Movie is supposed to be about how they managed to fall in love despite the fact that he's an atheist and she's like, you know, the Anglican Church of England or whatever it is.
And then they touch
the
on
English
that
Church.
At the beginning and then they come back to it way. They like ignore it.
She's yep. a bee. He's a beekeeper.
How are they going to get along? Yeah. And it didn't really like address that very much. And it's very like, it's a weird movie. And how, like, you're supposed to admire how strong she was because, you know, like, she takes on, like, she loves him so much that she's so dedicated that even if he's going to die, like, you know, she's going to stick with him. And then he doesn't die and then
she
it doesn't
kinda,
work out.
It's funny, I guess she was kind of hoping he was going to die.
Yeah, it was like...
He's still alive, this son of a bitch.
He was only supposed to last 2.5 years.
Just rewrite the movie and have her try to kill him the whole time.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, you could just... Do a spinoff and, you know, I'm going to stick with him until he dies. And he never dies and becomes super famous and doesn't care about her. And she's like, I have to kill him. It's over.
And that's the thing. It's like her scenes with Charlie Cox, you get why they like each other, too. Like, I don't know. It's very strange because, like, the two stars don't have any chemistry, really. But we're supposed to believe they do. And, man, some of the storytelling devices in that movie where they have to keep using, like, food to explain concepts
God.
And physics.
Every time they were eating, they was like, well, okay, well, let's talk about...
Well, the pickle is a neutron star.
Let's look at the coffee.
And
it's,
these olives are white dwarfs. And this is how they interact.
Yeah, he's looking at the coffee, and he's like, it's a black hole because it's black coffee.
Yeah, he thinks about the Big
Good
Bang
Lord.
From imagining the cream in his coffee spiraling back out after he stirs it.
It's pathetic.
Yeah, like...
Lots of people were fooled by this movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was that? I love that review that guy wrote about Birdman where he was like, exposes him for the fraud that he
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exposes
like,
Inarritu for the fraud he is.
One of my favorite reviews I've ever read of a movie.
And that's not even the most negative review.
No,
like,
no.
That's the best part.
It's great. Like, it's a 25 out of 100.
Yeah, there's a guy who gave it a zero, I
yeah.
think.
It's pretty awesome. I love that review. It just makes sense. It's gonna.
All right.
I didn't have anything to root for, which made me sad.
I liked Selma. I thought it was underrated. Did you watch it, Chris?
No, I have not watched Selma. I forgot about that one. I'm sorry.
Selma.
I hear that there's a lot of problems with the actual history of it. But like I said, I haven't seen it yet.
Don't let history get in the way of a good story, says Ridley Scott.
Well, they definitely didn't when they were making Theory of Everything.
Yeah, they didn't give shit about that.
Yeah, I found that very interesting that people were... Because apparently it paints the administration in a very negative light.
Yeah. Some people said it painted them in a positive light, so no one has a fucking idea about the movie. Just no one watched it is what it was.
Well, I had heard that a lot of the people that were friends with Johnson and stuff like that hated the movie and... Because they felt that it painted Johnson in a very negative
way. No, it painted him... It was weirdly sympathetic in how, like, it's political, but they don't make him to be like, well, you're my best friend, Marty.
Yeah, exactly. He's
come,
like...
Come and hang out at the White House anytime you feel like. He's like, we're trying to meet you halfway.
Yeah.
Can you please give us something to go with? Which,
yeah.
I mean, you know...
It's politics. He's playing
politics,
right? That's what... Johnson
That's
was a politician.
Johnson was.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was.
Except for the
president.
Fact that he probably killed JFK.
He was part of the banking clan.
I'm not kidding.
I know. It was good timing.
It was very, yeah. So was that second bullet.
The one Magneto couldn't curve.
The one that Magneto couldn't curve, yeah. He can lift a goddamn Russian destroyer.
Yeah. And if fucking, like, I don't know, what was the baseball stadium, you know?
Yeah.
Where you can't control a fucking bullet.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
You know? Like, not even I'm that fast.
What?
Because JFK was a mutant, too.
Selma was good. And it had some really impressive shots in it that you would, like, you just hear, well, it's a bunch of people walking over a bridge, and you just think that sounds really normal, but it actually they make it look very cool
in the movie. I thought it looked great. That scene was amazing.
Yeah,
like I said, I still want to watch it,
People really underrated it, because I honestly believe they just didn't watch it, or they were just super hipster nerds that wanted Birdman to win because they're idiots.
Actually,
I think so a bit. Honestly, I mean,
there are people still coming to Birdman at work, and it's almost universally like hipster Asbury students and old people.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
in the Asbury film department.
And people ask me, like, did you see it? What did you think of it? And I was like, I thought it was, like, really poisonous and kind of didn't have anything to say, despite the fact that it's just sort of yelling at you for an hour and a half. And then, like, an old lady came out and she's like, you were totally right about that. And I was like, thanks.
All right.
I do that ever since, like, one time, like, a dude asked me of what I thought of a movie. Oh, have you seen this? And I was like, I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's good from other people who've seen it. It's like, oh, they pay you to say that. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just tell everyone exactly what I think from now on. Yeah. I have ever since. It was, like, 10 years ago.
So, yeah, allegedly, there's going to be a new M&M's commercial with the yellow M&M playing drums. Because the yellow M&M's...
Wouldn't he be conducting the red M&M, though?
Well, they can't do, you know, because...
They can't break character.
They can't break character, but they're just going to have him playing drums and kind of have, like, an award back behind him because they can't use the Oscar because it's, you know, trademarked and all that shit.
Let's just get John Goodman and John Lovitz back.
Billy West and J.K. Simmons do a fine job.
I prefer John Lovitz and John Goodman from that first commercial. That was the best one.
I'm sure John Lovitz would do it. Like,
no, he's dead.
He's dead.
John Lovitz is dead?
No. At the SNL 40th anniversary, they played. They had
They had it in memoriam.
No, at the very beginning, they said, we wish John Lovitz could be here, but sadly, he passed. And then they zoomed to him in the crowd.
Going, what?
And then during the in memoriam, he pops up. And
yeah,
he's
at the very end.
In the crowd.
Yeah, it's like Yeah, it's like Gilda Radner
and
John
Lovitz at the end, and he's like, "What?" It was pretty great. It was pretty great.
Yeah, I really like that.
The Saturday Night Live. Did...
Well, we'll go through because we talked about Imitation Game already, right?
I don't think we did. Did we?
Imitation Game kind of averaged out to be one of the better movies.
Yeah, it was all right. I like it.
I need to see that one. I still haven't seen that.
It was fine.
I mean, Carrie liked it.
Is it rated R?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I don't understand how there is like a rated R movie about a homosexual man whose life was tragic because of the fact that he was a homosexual that cannot even show like two guys kissing. Like, it is fucking cowardly. And I know the reason they didn't do it was because it would scare off old people.
Did he have a lover?
He had that kid that they talked to in the office at the beginning.
You mean the prostitute?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they want to show that.
Yeah, and he actually he.
But I know what you mean. I agree with you, and I know what you mean.
It's very weird.
But I don't
have an actual lover until later in life.
I know. Where was that guy?
Like
because they try to tell two stories. They try to tell the end of his life.
So he did have a boyfriend eventually?
Sort of.
That would be interesting.
They try to tell about the end of his life, and they tell about when he was, like, cracking Enigma.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a much better job of cracking Enigma than they do the end of his life, because they just say, well, he was really sad and on pills, and then he killed himself, like, 3 months later. And that's, like, a title card at the end of the movie. It's just like, oh, and he died. Roll credits.
No.
It was more to it than that.
No, it really wasn't.
He was castrated.
Yeah. Well, they say chemical castration when he talks to Keira Knightley for the
last
time.
And then he was poisoned with those drugs.
Yeah.
And depressed, and he didn't kill himself. There's a lot of people that say, no, I don't think he did.
I don't know. But they just show him going into a room and turning off the light.
Yeah, what we're trying to say is most of the end of the movie was just untitled cards.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, here's the conclusion of this dramatic journey that you came to watch this movie to bear witness to.
While they're throwing the plans into the fire.
Yeah. Which actually, I thought that part was neat. Them throwing stuff in the fire.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. It's just like, I don't know.
I bet Matthew Good's relieved to actually be in a movie that like matters again.
You mean for once?
Well, yes. I'm sure he was in something that we just haven't seen before Watchmen. Too, yeah.
I thought it was good. The Russian dude was added. That's not anything that happened.
Yeah, because it just sort of seemed like whatever. Yeah. It seemed more like he was trying to make a point than it was like replicating something that really happened. But, yeah. You know, that's neither here nor there.
But I thought the movie was all right. I mean, it was good. It was a good movie. It's the kind of movie that benefits from having, you know, 8 to 10 nominees for Best Picture.
Selma, Whiplash, Birdman, Boyhood, Imitation Game, Grand Budapest.
You know what's funny about Boyhood is I think the greater change over time was not the kid, but Patricia Arquette.
Oh, how she just becomes a granny?
It's like right before our eyes. It's ridiculous. And then Ethan Hawke looks the same.
Yeah. Boyhood was like the main example in that article I read about, well, they've nominated all these art house movies, so perhaps people's tastes are getting more sophisticated. And that's the thing is, like, Boyhood isn't even really a narrative. Like, I don't even know how much. I suspect all of it was improv.
No, it was written. It was screenplay nominee.
Was it really?
Yeah.
But nothing happens.
Yeah.
Like, not to ruin the movie for you guys, but
Nothing happens.
It's 2 hours and 40 minutes of everyone in that kid's life accepting and validating him as the most wonderful thing that they've ever met, and that he's incredible and super talented and not living up to his potential.
It's like, this is the movie version of the last two episodes of Evangelion.
Oh, yeah. Great job or whatever. Yeah, actually, like, in a weird way, it sort of is.
I was kind of waiting to say this.
Like, he comes home after, like, you know, smoking weed and drinking in the back of a car when he's, like, 15, making out with a chick. And he comes in, and his mom's, like, having a dinner party with all of her fancy school friends. And she's like, have you been drinking? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you doing any drugs? And he's like, yeah. She's like, okay, go up to bed, and, you know, we'll talk tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Good night. And that's, like, the last you ever see of it. Like, the movie's like, man, it really sucks for your parents to love you unconditionally because, like, I mean, it's like, it's not enough that people like are cool with you doing your thing. You have to find other people that do your thing so you can go get high and look at rocks.
Oh, there's Dead Bird. So, you know, it's
yes, there is
movie.
A Dead Bird.
Yeah, you know, it's an
fucking
independent film.
Art movie cliche 101. Yeah. This is a character looking at a dead bird in a silent scene.
Oh, there you go.
But that's an old joke from when I watched the deleted scenes on Sideways and I told you about that.
Yeah.
Because he sees a dead bird and he just stares there and looks at it. But yes, it's even Alexander Payne says in the commentary, he's like, yeah, that was a bit too cliche for us.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I mean, Chris, I encourage you to see Selma. There's a lot of good stuff in it that it's not getting a lot of press just because.
Yeah, I want to see it. I mean, I just haven't.
The performances I thought were fantastic, like some of the best. And I think it was criminal that some of them were not nominated for an Academy Award for their performances over some below average.
David Oyelowo probably should have won Best Actor over Eddie Redmayne.
He was,
like, I won't lie.
Yeah, I mean, he was really great.
I don't even really, like, I would have preferred Michael Keaton to win, because even if I didn't like Birdman, he was excellent in it, so, you know.
Sure.
And it's a very,
I agree.
That was a really difficult role to play. Like, I'm kind of mystified that Emma Stone was in Best Supporting Actress, personally, but, you know, since she was only...
Yeah, me too. It's
she
bizarre.
Was only there to yell at him and be Inarritu.
Yeah. There wasn't much
like,
to her.
She is... Her and Edward Norton are Inarritu, which is very funny because they fall in love with each other, even though they, you know, they kind of treat each other like dirt at first, which is very funny. Like, Edward Norton's character is meant to be Inarritu making fun of himself.
So does that mean that he hasn't had sex for a year?
No, it just means that, like, he thinks he's super talented, even though people, like, believe him to be an asshole. And even though he acts like an asshole, he's undeniably talented, and you have to admit how talented he is, because there's no other way to just interpret his singular genius. Which makes that scene with the critic from the New York Times that he screams at even better, you know? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, the only thing that really impressed me in any of these was the last 20 minutes of Whiplash, which are frankly incredible.
It was
compelling. It was just, you know, there was a couple of things in Whiplash that I had a problem with that I really can't say because it spoils it. Statue of Limitations not up on that film, but there was a one issue that was glaringly obvious, though the end was just fascinating to see, and it was a great sequence.
Yeah, it really held you.
Yeah, it was like, know? It was like, that's some real direction. I mean,
yeah,
that guy's
riveting.
A real director.
Which I was under the impression that because it was an adapted screenplay that it was based on a book, it's actually based
on
a
short film that he made. Yeah, I had no idea until the ceremony. It was, I was like, wow.
Yeah, apparently it's a special feature.
I want to see this short film.
It's a special feature on the DVD / Blu-ray, I think.
That guy's, I need to buy that. I actually didn't get a chance to buy it yet.
Yeah, it's clear that guy has way better movies in him than this.
Yeah, so. I'm interested to see what Damien Chazelle and Ava DuVernay do after this.
DuVernay was, she's fucking awesome. Like,
you know,
she's a great director, and I'd really like to see her.
What did she direct again?
Selma.
She's Selma, oh. Yeah.
And it looked like she has such an eye for color. It's bizarre in a movie that doesn't really
and lighting.
Need it. Like, and lighting is, oh my God, man. I mean, she hired some great people to work on her film and color correct it. I thought the movie was both of those movies were on the verge of something great and couldn't quite get it. A couple of things held them back just from, you know, from that promised land.
Yeah.
But I think there's, but what compels me about both of those is that both the directors are, you know, essentially brand new and they have a lot of promise that we'll be able to see something great from them later.
Yeah, this is the first time that a first film from someone up for all these awards has been something I like because
twice.
It was not it was definitely not Beast of the Southern Wild or Winter's Bone.
Man.
Winter's Bone.
Good Lord, huh?
We should
talk about Sniper, I guess.
Really quickly, let's talk about Sniper. Yeah, when me and Jace watched Sniper, like we were totally like drained by the experience.
Yep. It was draining and...
This is an exhausting movie to watch.
It was super exhausting movie to watch.
And the thing is, Chris, like this is what was interesting about it to me, was it seemed like Bradley Cooper was playing that role differently than what the movie was trying to portray.
Huh.
He was really, really good in it. Like,
he was great.
He's excellent. I think he was trying to portray a more flawed character than that movie ended up presenting.
And they didn't,
they definitely
didn't want to. He had a lot of anger and fire and passion in his eyes, and the movie just skipped right over any of that.
To a degree. I mean, I think that the movie kind of halfway went with it, but the moment it fully committed to it not being that was when he gets back home and he's like the perfect dad and the perfect father.
Oh, when he's tapping on the window with the baby.
That was weird.
I like that scene. And the scene that stood out to me in Sniper is when he's getting his truck fixed and he has his son with him.
And that guy comes up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the guy comes up to him because the way that Bradley Cooper portrays himself in that scene is awesome.
He's so fidgety. Yeah, you can really tell he's holding back a lot.
Yeah.
It was really fascinating to see, you know. Just his mannerisms. He had a lot of interesting acting choices that were very clear, but very, you know, presentable to get any kind of point that he had across. So
he was really good in it.
He's a really good actor. Fucking nerdy guy from Alias.
Oh yes, yes. Will Tippett, the reporter. He's
a fucking great actor. No, under your chair.
But.
Yeah, so it was a very emotionally draining experience.
Yeah, it was an exhausting movie.
Just felt like, well, that's the end of my day. I don't want to do a single thing.
And then we went and got dinner.
Yeah,
that was 2014. Woo! Yeah. Definitely not as cool as 2013.
No, that was a great year for movies.
I guess I really should appreciate how and totally unlikely it was I enjoyed so many of the movies from 2013.
I think we really appreciated the quality of films we got that year. Like, it was like 1994.
Apparently, I didn't appreciate it enough. And this is my punishment.
So, 2013 and 1994 are like two of the best years.
Anyway, speaking of things we did enjoy, The Kingsman. Chris,
man,
did you have a chance
I've seen
this?
Twice.
First things first, I have not read the comic.
I haven't either.
I own like the first three issues.
So I looked it up whenever we got out of the car. I was like, man, this comic sounds like it's going to have to be awesome. So I looked up the synopsis on Wikipedia.
I'm sure it's nothing like it.
Has nothing to do with it. So Matthew Vaughn has this singular ability to take an adapted work and be like, I like that. I like that. Fuck the rest of this shit. All right, let's see. Ooh, I like King Arthur. Let's throw that in there.
Oh, the Arthur thing isn't in there?
No, not at all.
Oh, man, that's really cool.
Yeah, that was one of the best parts of the King.
Isn't that bizarre? Because otherwise, why would it be called Kingsman? You know, because...
Fair enough. Oh, is it not actually?
No, it's just called the Secret Service.
Yeah, I knew it was called the Secret Service. So they're not the Kingsmen in the
no,
book.
No, they're
either.
Secret Service.
That's just it?
Yep, that's it. So Matthew Vaughn totally took what seems to be a very like bland comic book.
Oh, is it not good? It's hard to find honest reviews of Mark Miller's stuff because people just hate Mark Miller for things he says in interviews. Well, yeah. Which, I mean, like, he's the Roger Corman of comic book guys.
From what I've seen,
like,
it's...
I don't know
what's
well, hold on a second. That's a bit much.
It's not oh, okay. bad.
That's just... I mean, he's the Clint Eastwood of comic books.
Oh, is that it?
Well, I mean, Roger Corman is... That's a different story.
I don't think... from what I could tell, it doesn't seem like Secret Service is bad. It just doesn't live up to the movie. I'll say that much.
You know, I like this better than Kick-Ass.
I do too. I do too.
I think it's actually in a lot of ways it's sort of a more refined Kick-Ass.
It's funny. Michael said, like, I thought it's better than Kick-Ass, and I was like, there's no way. I watched it. I'm like, well, I don't know. I think it is.
I said that. Yeah. And yeah. Jason was like, I don't know about that.
Like, Kick-Ass is
back.
A movie my parents would never watch, but I could see my dad really enjoying Kingsman.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Is like for an R-rated movie, it was still very. I don't know. Man, just that church sequence.
At set to Freebird.
Was one take.
And of course.
Oh, yeah?
It was one take.
Hey, Matthew Vaughn knows how to make movies, man. Like I
yeah,
like I
does.
Said, like I was, I like Bryan Singer. I was kind of disappointed when he came back.
Yeah.
On X-Men.
Me too.
But I loved that movie. It was highly enjoyable from opening sequence.
Like
they
choreography
go
in, is
they
awesome.
Go into fucking outer space.
Yeah.
I mean, not for like a long time or anything. It's not like a huge part
and
of
I like
it. But
the
they still
fact,
do.
I like the fact great. That Eggsy and Roxy do not get together.
Yeah, they're
awesome.
Just friends.
It has the most Mark Miller joke of all time
at
the very
end
of it, which
well,
I,
yeah.
I have to wonder if that's from the comics, because if it's not, he actually knows like Mark Miller's sense of humor very well.
Yeah, now that I don't know, but, I mean, why not?
Which joke are you talking about?
The butt
oh,
fucking
the very
joke.
End, the princess thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like I told Aaron and Horseshoe when I got out, like, A++, A++++ if you like jokes about butt sex. So, in other words, A++++.
Everybody in the movie was fantastic. Michael Caine was great. Colin Firth was fantastic.
Yeah, I know. It's cool that
Mark
he got
Strong
to be James
good.
Bond.
Mark Strong was excellent. My only complaint with Mark Strong was why and he did a fine job with it. It was an unnatural Scottish accent for him.
But that's he's Scottish.
No, he's not.
He's not?
No, he's British. I mean,
who am
he's
I thinking
like,
of then? Ah, never mind. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
But that Scottish accent, it caught me off guard. It's not a bad accent. It just totally caught me off guard because Mark Strong has a very gravelly. And I guess that's why they did it, because he almost has a villain voice.
Because he's trying to be Sean Connery.
A little bit. But but yeah, I love that movie. I love the bar. I love both bar fights.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the choreography of all of the fight scenes was so...
Oh, it was
so different,
fucking
and
fantastic. It was, yeah.
It was fantastic, but different at the same time, but it just felt so smooth.
It was fresh. It was fresh.
Yeah,
yes.
Fresh.
And it
That's
was
a great
clever, like, clever use of the
yeah.
weapons. And
when you
clever...
see it, it's like, yeah, you don't, yeah, I was like, I've never seen fighting like this on screen. It just
like the
it
way
looks
he
so
hooked,
good.
The way he hooked the pint glass with the umbrella.
Oh.
And just flung it.
It could be so corny, but
I know,
fuck,
it works.
So good. It's so fluid. I mean, he's one of the best action directors we have living. That's just it.
Yeah, it's very weird how, like, Guy Ritchie's doing, like, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and it's just, like, yeah, weird. The kind of...
Right?
It's weird how their careers are kind of parallel, and yet
yeah.
he has far exceeded the guy who
yeah.
he was formerly the producer of.
Yeah.
Like, Guy Ritchie makes boring movies now.
I mean, well, he always did, but...
Well, yes, but...
I mean, Kingsman was... And I really hope that we get a second movie out of this, because it apparently did... very well for an R-rated movie at box office.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised how well it did, because when they delayed it, I was like, well, why did they delay it? And yeah. I still don't really know why, other than that, I guess they knew it would kind of clean up as counter-programming to
like,
50 Shades.
I think it's like $90 million right now.
So
it's $85,696.
It opened higher than the amount of money that Kick-Ass made in its whole run.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And the budget was $81 million. That's a high budget.
Well, it looked fucking great.
It looked way more
than
80
million. Me and Jason were talking about it, and I love the fact that pretty much the 1% all have their heads exploded.
Yeah.
And the world just goes on.
Yeah, they're fine. There's no problem.
No fine.
Everyone's living. I'm like, okay. That's a hell of a statement. I love it.
Let me talk about this, too. So I love how it referred back to those classic Bond movies, and I knew I wanted to talk about this with you, Jace. So it referred back to those classic Bond movies.
This and X-Men First Class did.
Yeah, and kind of made fun of them all in the same time of like paying homage to them, too.
Mm-hmm.
This is true parody.
Samuel Jackson's hideout was inside of a mountain.
Yeah, and it looked awesome. I mean, it
looked exactly like a Bond villain's hideout.
Well, and
it looked like Dr. Evil's hideout.
And I will tell you that the
henchman had sword feet.
Yes,
she was great. Oh, the way that fucking Jack Davenport got killed.
Who's Jack Davenport?
Okay, he's the actor. He was in Coupling, and he was also in Pirates of the Caribbean, but he was the guy that got sliced in half.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not James Bond.
He was Commandant Norrington. But
006.
What?
006.
Oh, okay.
he was fantastic. And I wish we had gotten to see more of him. Mark Hamill was great. Because in the comic,
British accent sounds like the Joker.
In the comic, Mark Hamill,
was kidnapped.
Was the one kidnapped, and Dr. James Arnold was the main Valentine's name.
Oh, okay.
And so,
they just let Samuel L. Jackson make that character up?
Yes.
Good, because that's the most interesting he's been in a movie in like 20 years.
And the lisp was all Sam Jackson.
Good.
I kind of figured it would, because
apparently he had a lisp whenever he started acting, and he had to work through it.
And just kept it.
And, well, he said, because villains always have to have that little quirk.
He knows, you know, I'll tell you what, he knows how to make a villain work. Like, he did Unbreakable well.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, man. And he basically did the Jules character.
And we did go to McDonald's afterwards, too.
The three characters that he's ever played in movies.
I mean, he was good in Django as well, but at the same time, like, I don't know if that was, like, as much an interesting creation of his as much it was just, like...
I don't think so.
Here, I wrote this for you, Sam.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Samuel L. Jackson not, like, you know, just doing Samuel L. Jackson.
He was great in the movie, and that role was fantastic. I thought it was great. I thought he was
because
awesome.
Because he wasn't, like...
It was so
maniacally evil. He was literally.
You explain it like that, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, people are like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm with it. Like, that's a great villain. One that has like a kernel of righteousness. So they just exploit that.
Yeah. Everybody gets free cell phone internet for life. I mean.
Uh oh.
But no, the movie was like a hoot, and I'm very excited for whatever it is that Matthew Vaughn does next, as I always am, but like even more so now, like, because he keeps like raising the bar. Like, I mean, I like this in that it is like Kick-Ass, but like without all of the elements of Kick-Ass that people found repulsive under any director that's not named Quentin Tarantino, in which case it's totally okay and allowed, and you can do anything because it's him and he's perfect and amazing and can do no wrong. So, like,
he does not currently have. Anything on the IMDb for coming in the future?
Man, let him do Doctor Strange. Shit, I'll watch that. Like, let him do anything.
Rumor
let him make any movie.
He
rumor
did
has
produce
it that
the Fantastic
he is
Four
up
movie.
For a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
And see, for once, it would not depress me for someone to be like, you know, sucked into a franchise the way
he
I kind of
it.
Am with like everyone else.
But he's the kind of guy that is going to make it his no matter what.
Yeah, it seems like he works really well in any parameter.
The one thing that they're kind of talking to him about is Runaways.
Okay, well, you just picked the one that I don't know if I want to see then. That seems kind of lame.
Yeah. I'm not going to say
but
I'm super
excited.
Damn it.
They don't know if they're going to make that movie or not because...
Man, I don't know. I went back and reread Runaways really recently, and it has not aged well.
Well, and it's, you know, a lot of people say it's kind of its time, and, you know. It,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Just make it a TV show if you're going to do it.
Holy shit.
That way it's easier to skip.
It's, oh, man, it's not bad, but, boy, like, it's dated.
Didn't happen, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't like, continue.
I don't know.
Like Cowboy Bebop.
I don't know. I haven't watched Cowboy Bebop in like 10 years. But, yeah, no, Kingsman is excellent. Everyone who is capable of watching it should watch
it. Yeah, highly, highly recommend. It's fantastic. And
if you're under 17, get your parents to take you to it.
Yeah, they'll love it.
Card you.
They'll love it.
They probably will enjoy it. Like, one of the reviews I read was like, this was a movie made by little boys who grew up watching Bond movies that want to make a movie that sells people on those movie on those Bond movies they watched as little boys.
Yeah.
Like, it is trying to get as far away from this modern Bond aesthetic as you can.
Yeah, he's just...
Like, it didn't have the ninjas rappelling down the papier-mâché volcano with the suitcase helicopter in You Only Live Twice, which is still, like, my most favorite ridiculous thing.
It's... But great.
It's pretty much there.
You had somebody, it's just great.
You had somebody going into space on two weather balloons.
I know.
It was,
oh, my God.
It was fucking fantastic.
Firing a missile at a fucking satellite and then falling to Earth.
The music that plays when he's fighting the girl with the sword feet is like my favorite part of the movie. Like,
oh, my gosh.
His and music choices are incredible because he picks like the most horribly inappropriate things that
and
still completely
just
fit.
It works. He's so good at that. He's like Cameron Crowe for that. It's really great.
Like, I'm really happy that he, because, you know, I mean, I love Stardust. That's still one of my favorite, you know, movies of the past couple, you know, of the past 10 years.
Stardust was kind of a revelation because we both were like, uh-oh, this might kind of suck. And then it was like, holy shit, who is this guy? That movie was so much fun.
Because I'd seen Layer Cake, and I don't like it.
I don't, well, like Jason said, that's his first movie.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I kind of want to go back and watch it and see if I might appreciate it more this time, but I did not like it. I thought it was really boring and just turgid and lame and whatever, but maybe it's actually like really good and I'm just in a bad mood that day because I don't believe he can make a bad movie.
He's
that's how
got
good
a very
his other
good
stuff has been.
Sensibility of what just what makes a fun movie, and
yeah, I mean
he does that.
He's 4 for 4 on like big pseudo big budget studio movies, mm-hmm. like just knocking the fuck out of the park.
Yeah,
like
so.
Each one I have enjoyed more than the last.
We are a pro Matthew Vaughn podcast.
Yeah,
we like, sure are.
Yeah, he's one of the best ones we've got today, so we're good for it.
What more? So we talked about him doing maybe a Marvel cinematic. What would you like him to do?
Iron Man.
God, he'd be fantastic for Iron Man.
If he took over
let him
for
do
Iron
Spider-Man.
Man.
Oh, my God.
Like, I would be excited for that. Like, you know, I don't know. Oh, boy. Do something to make me want to
watch Spider-Man.
Yeah, like, I don't want to live in a world where I don't want to watch Spider-Man movies, guys. Like, please, fix this for me.
That would be awesome.
What if he did, like, Captain Marvel?
What? Oh, right. Sorry, I have to wrap my head around and think Marvel,
yeah,
Captain
Marvel.
Yeah, I know.
Every time someone says it, I'm like, oh, that's right.
If he did, like, DC Captain Marvel, that'd
be
my
the greatest ever.
Thing ever.
Actually, go do that.
Yes, please do that.
Actually hire him to do that, because
like,
that makes me
Zack
really excited.
Snyder off of everything and just let him do every one of those
movies. Yeah, Matthew Vaughn should be running DC.
Because then I would care.
Just do that.
Like,
fuck, he would be great for... You know, actually, he is kind of like the perfect one for Captain Marvel.
I mean, I would be all about him doing Doctor Strange. I would be all about him doing Black Panther. I would be all about him doing... I don't know. Who's another solo movie they've announced that doesn't
Inhumans.
Have a director? Inhumans? Sure, why not? Like... Even though that's not one where I'm like, yay, Inhumans, which
right.
is sad because I love Black Bolt and everybody, but,
yeah.
you know, I don't know.
But you know what's happening.
I don't know. I would be scared of him getting picked for Captain Marvel because then people would freak out because you can't have, like, a female-led superhero movie that's not directed by a female, apparently, because they don't understand the female experience.
Nothing, yeah, like, because the female lead in
Greg
Stardust is just a piece of shit.
Greg Rucka can't write anyone besides men, you know? Like,
of course.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Except all of his main characters are just women.
Yeah. I love that, what was it? What was her name? Gregorina Rucka that wrote the Renee Montoya in Gotham Central?
Yes.
And Batwoman. And
speaking of that, I actually saw something by the lady who's going to direct Wonder Woman, because I've seen stuff by her. I just never took notice because it was on Breaking Bad. And other than Rian Johnson, I never really like registered who was directing what episode. But she directed the second episode of Better Call Saul, which is surprisingly not terrible so far, though. I don't necessarily know if it's great, but at least it's not the horrible fucking disaster I suspected it might be. And it seems to not be picking up, like, you know, like that weird sort of, like, trashy Breaking Bad fandom that sort of developed, where it's like I have, like, you know, Jesse the Cook Pinkman stickers on the back of my, like, you know, like,
hey, he cooks meth, I cook meth, I love this show, woo!
You have to wait till it goes on Netflix.
Fair enough. But people watch the last seasons of Breaking Bad live.
Okay.
And I will say that
that's just because it was on Netflix at first.
I've seen a lot of people on Facebook talking about Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
like a lot of people that I follow on Facebook are watching it.
Hey, so let me ask you a question. No. I haven't watched Breaking Bad.
I haven't either.
Could I watch Better Call Saul?
Yeah. Okay. There's some jokes you might not get, but they'll make more sense if you go and watch Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you watch Breaking Bad, Chris? Because of the obnoxious fandom around it?
Because it's a snore fest?
Oh, whatever.
Well, because by the time I really started, like, actually, like, wanting to watch it, it was already in, like, season four, and I'm like, I'm just going to wait till it's all done so I can just binge it.
It's all done. Yeah,
binge. You mean watch marathon all of it. That's what you mean.
And then I just haven't yet. So.
But no. I don't know. It's a really cool show, and I'm, you know, I don't know. It's something that's going to have to, like, wait 10 years for, like, the stink of, like, you know, like, how trashy AMC made it, where they have, like, you know, like, a show where they talk about, wasn't it amazing when Walt shot that guy in the face? Like, oh, my God, I hate that. I fucking hate it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But Kingsman, excellent. And, you know, the episode of Better Call Saul was directed really, like, it was interesting. Like, she put a camera inside of a coffee machine.
All right.
But speaking of TV, Chris, did you watch the Parks and Rec finale?
I did. I watched all 13 episodes too.
Nice.
Did you see the video of them singing "Bye Bye Little Sebastian" on Late Night with Seth Meyers?
Yeah, fantastic.
So, Jason, you saw it?
Michael played it. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Was it funny?
I don't know what's the guy that plays Jerry's name.
I don't know.
Jim O'Hare.
Yeah, Jim O'Hare.
Jim O'Hare. He makes out with Aubrey Plaza.
During most of the song.
For most of the song.
Wow.
And it's not like a fake.
That is commitment to a joke.
It's full on tongue making out.
Hey, man. Like, she wants some. Like, she wants roles, man. Like, that MTV thing apparently did not get the heat that she thought it would, because you know that was staged as shit.
What MTV thing?
Where she made out with Will Ferrell or something, right?
I don't know.
Well, I don't understand. What?
Hey, man, she wants to be known as someone who will take a joke and go with it as far as it can go.
I see.
Which, right. I admire that, because there's not enough people that do that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not like a sex thing or whatever. It's not like I'm going to make out with you, producer. It's
right.
Like, I am committed to, like, just being insane and wacky and weird, which...
She's not in a lot of movies, so...
Yeah, I mean, she's in Safety Not Guaranteed and The To-Do List, which, you know, neither of those I enjoyed as much as I wanted to.
I watched the finale. Me and Carrie are...
Have you watched the whole show?
No, we're doing that right now, but I know enough...
Oh, man, you spoiled it.
No, I know most of what has gone on the show...
By watching anything past the fifth season.
I watched the Cheers finale. I hadn't seen every episode.
I mean, everything.
Well, I probably actually had seen every episode.
That was going on in the finale, where we are in the show, which is almost to the end of season three, I have context for. Every single thing.
Well, there's not a lot to spoil in those last episodes, because they introduce things like, oh, they have three kids, and they never show up ever.
The last season isn't good.
Dude, it wasn't as bad as the season before it.
It was a bad equal to me.
Like, I liked the last season.
The last season of this, like, season 7 or season 6? Because season 7 is the last season.
The newest one, the one that just finished. I thought it was fine.
I thought it was better than the previous season.
It was better than season 6.
Other than Andy going to Britain and meeting the insane aristocrat guy.
That was great, though. That was one of my
really
favorite things.
I hate season six, and I think it is terrible, and I think, like, I don't know.
I think seasons...
Remember, we would text each other all the time about
I know.
What a fucking drag it was
forget.
To watch and how agonizing it was.
I thought this season was just as bad.
The only thing in this season I thought was that bad was the Johnny Karate episode, which I thought was terrible.
Fucking hated that.
It was very much like a cheesy, dumb kind of love letter to fans, wank off, wacky meme bullshit. It's just painful to watch. I thought it was just really painful.
The fuck is that? That's awesome.
Like, it makes no sense that, you know, Ron wouldn't even have like a telephone number, but he would agree to appear on TV. It was just in service of like a joke where he is just Ron. Which, don't get me wrong, I love Ron. Ron is
but
the best character.
But enough is enough.
You know?
Sometimes it's like, I've had enough Kramer today.
Hey, man, I love the joke where he talks about burying the gold underneath the tree, and then he was like,
yeah, that was good.
I don't mean that tree. Or did I?
Right.
Or didn't I? Maybe I've dug that gold up and moved it somewhere else. Great fucking
joke.
Pretty
good.
I said we recently watched the episode where they go to Indianapolis so that he can go to J.R. Mulligan's or J.J. Mulligan's.
Oh,
yeah.
And it's closed.
Oh, that's great. Like, you're right when the show is, like, at its best. Like,
yeah.
The last great season
the
is the
it,
one
yeah.
where Paul Rudd and Leslie are like, going up against each other to run for office.
Yes.
Though I did like the joke with Paul Rudd and the reporter lady.
At the on the finale?
Yeah, where he just meets her in the park, and he's like, why are you crying? You're so pretty. She's like, you think I'm pretty? And they're, like, married, like, 2 hours later.
Yeah.
It was actually very sweet.
5 hours later, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, she finally got to get married off. That's all.
Yeah. Well, that and I
That
liked,
was the only one I was
I
all right
Jim's
with.
I like Jerry's funeral.
I hate,
like, the previous episode, I hated him becoming the mayor. Like, the idea of him becoming a mayor, I hate the ceremony for it, where they put him in a hot air balloon and they have, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, the fucking, like, you know.
Oh, you like that?
No, I hated
that. Okay, good, because
I hated it.
I thought it was terrible.
Like, they have, like, the British Royal Guard, like, playing trumpets and walking around with, like, halberds and shit.
It's like they had to throw it in your face. Like, you still fucking hate this guy, and I don't give a fuck. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it was, like, I don't know.
I really hated that. I thought it was terrible.
However, like, him and Donna, like, trying to get his credit cards out of there, and she was just sitting there talking to him.
That was the best.
That was the best one.
I absolutely agree. I like that one.
The last season was a very mixed bag, I thought, Chris, because there were some jokes that were really amazing, and there were some jokes where it's just like, oh god, this is season six again. Everything with jokes about it being in the future, I hated. Anything with Grizzle, where they just have Grizzle phones or just little pieces of plastic that do, like, you know, amazing holographic computer minority
report
things.
You know
why they
went in the future, don't you? They came out and said.
Why is that?
Because Amy Poehler said that after having two kids herself, she didn't want to work with infants.
Actually, I do remember she said that on Stern. That's right.
That's pretty funny. But she didn't have to because they were barely in the show at all.
They weren't on the show.
Like, I did like those scenes. I did kind of like where the campaign manager would come in.
Catherine Hahn.
And the kids would just be like, why is it? And she'd be like, why is everything sticky?
I liked her.
I liked her, too. She's a highlight of the show in general, I think. But I don't know. The finale was okay. I think it kind of represented what the show became instead of what the show was.
Like, so it was. I thought that was a poor choice for finale, but
would be like if in the last episode of The Office, which keep in mind I haven't watched a single episode of The Office whatsoever, except maybe like 5 minutes of one. It would be like if they like found a portal to Middle Earth, like, you know, and they went through it. Like, that's how forced some of the jokes were.
Well, you didn't see the finale of The Office, but that's what happened.
Oh shit! Really?
No.
I don't know. I will say I'm extremely glad that Brooklyn Nine-Nine does not do the documentary camera thing because, like, I don't even know why they bothered trying to keep it up on Parks and Rec because it just dissolves, you know, and you kind of forget they're on camera for the most part.
Yeah, they didn't even do a wrap-up on that. On The Office, they did, at least, so that was something.
Yeah, the finale
of
The Office
was... I was happy that they kind of did the...
Final?
Well, no, it was them coming back after the documentary had been
aired,
released.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said the finality of it.
No.
Not the finale.
The finality.
Well, yeah, it's just like
that's
they
awesome.
All die.
That's great. That's great.
I liked the finale.
Holy shit, I thought that was cloth for a minute.
I did too.
That's really great.
Yeah.
I liked that every time Leslie touched somebody, that was when you got the flashback. Like,
yeah, the flash forward.
Yeah, the flash forward, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I thought I liked just how that it just came up with a nice, general, happy ending.
But now I am also curious.
Everyone gets to be happy.
At Jerry's funeral, is she president?
Yes. Or is he president?
Or are they both president?
I don't know. Or were they both president?
Right.
Oh, yeah, because there you go. They could both be out of office. Maybe they ran non-consecutive terms.
Well, like Hillary's going to be president.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wish they had
which is also ridiculous because neither of them would be president, especially Leslie. She would not ever be voted president. She does not have the credentials to be president. You have to go to an Ivy League school.
Oh, well, fair enough.
You don't have to.
When was the last time someone didn't?
And this happy idealistic...
Jason,
they
don't teach math anymore.
They don't teach math anymore.
It's true.
And they're out of beef.
The happy idealistic world that Parks and Rec lives in is not like the one we have, Jace.
Oh, I know.
Leslie's
I
not...
understand.
Sad to say, like, no, she does not have the connections to ever become president, and I don't think Ben ever would either because of Iceland or Ice Castle or whatever it was called.
Icewind Dale.
We could believe it in their beautiful world, you know? I don't know. That didn't bug me as much as, like, April having, like, the horror makeup when she was having the kid. I was okay, guys, we get
the
joke.
I want to make it clear. That didn't bug me. I just wanted to point it out on this show.
Oh, okay.
I liked the fact that Ron got to be Park Ranger.
I did, too. My favorite joke in the episode was where he had the duct tape on all of his stuff.
On all of his badges and stuff, yeah.
I don't have to advertise it.
Well, Carrie, so end of season two, where they shut down the government, and this is when Rob Lowe and Adam Scott show up, Carrie still to this day talks about how excited Ron Swanson was whenever the government shut down, and she was like, Nick Offerman's face lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And she was like, his laugh whenever him and Andy are playing football.
I'm having fun.
Yeah. Right.
When they're throwing the football in the parking lot.
In the parking lot. And then Andy jumps over the car and sets the alarm off and they run away and he's like, I mean, it's just great. I love that cast.
When they let Ron go out of, like, the image we have of Ron is always the best joke.
But now, still to this day, my favorite thing is him sitting depressed in the diner. Give me all of your bacon and eggs.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
I didn't hear some bacon and eggs. I meant all of the bacon and eggs.
I'm worried that when you said that, you heard bring me a lot of bacon and eggs.
Yeah.
I liked Donna's wrap-up because it was a treat-yourself wrap-up.
It was, and I liked that. It was very sweet.
I like that she got married to Keegan-Michael Key, too.
Donna's arc is actually, like, my favorite in, like, that last season because they keep talking about the insane things that she does, but they don't show them, which is the opposite of what they do with everyone else.
True. Yes.
Donna's a great character, though. She's just a fantastic character.
See, they didn't do a lot of work with her the last few years, so they actually did some work with her this year, and I thought it was really good.
I was a little unsatisfied with Tom's wrap-up, but I think they just kind of given up on Tom in some ways because he's not in the last season a lot.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, yeah, I guess we should set up that he's going to meet up with that girl he liked.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the bartender from Snake Hole, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Because I don't know. That he was dating whenever he got divorced from his, you know, from what's-her-face.
Yeah, and then she leaves, and then they bring her back, yeah.
Right, but... Whenever he gets divorced...
Was she a bartender? I thought she was a doctor.
She was a... if it's who I'm thinking of, because isn't her name Lucy?
Yes.
And I thought the bartender...
I think he meets her in the Snake Hole Lounge.
I thought she was a bartender at the Snake Hole Lounge whenever he went and paid his tab because he invited 40 women to try and hook up with him, and he pays tab, and they go out a couple of times, and then... She breaks up with him for some reason.
She goes to, like, help orphans in, like, Cambodia
or
something.
Yeah, something like that. And then I was like, oh, they brought her back. That's cool.
It's kind of quick, but, you know, whatever. You have to do something to make Tom happy. And poor Tom.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, whatever.
I didn't like the thing with the screaming dude, but I just don't like him.
I thought that was offensive. I thought that was offensive, personally. I thought his wrap-up finale was offensive.
What are you talking about? Who?
With the screaming guy from Eagleton. Yeah. Because, I mean, of course, the only person he can marry is the only other gay man on the show, and he can't meet someone just because. Everyone else gets to meet someone brand new, but he's like, well, it's an established character that's already gay. I may as well. Like, there's only gay people attracted to only other gay people. That's it. That's all there is to
However, I did like that Ron started going to him to get his hair cut.
Oh, Typhoon.
Yeah, I did like that, please too. Keep talking about how much you hate Europeans.
Actually, I like that, too.
That Ron was Typhoon's best man, wasn't he?
Yes.
Was
he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a good joke.
I did like
that's
that. Fine.
But I think it's offensive, though. Yep.
I thought it was kind of lazy. I mean, I would have liked to have seen, like, a new character, but at the same time, if you see a new character, you don't get that connection. But honestly,
why do you have to be married?
I don't even remember Typhoon before the Barber episode.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, I'm sure he's appeared before because he seems like a character that had, but, you know, it's like how they forgot the creepy skinhead dude except for one time this season and he used to be on the show all the time, or, like, the yelling dude who was always naked. Like, the thing about that bugged me about the final season of the show is that at the very end of it, they went back to the people in the city hating Leslie again, which seems regressive. And I fucking hate that. Like, it was difficult to get to that first season. And they even say this in interviews. It's like, it was really hard to do the show when everyone just despised Leslie because she was such a sweet character. So we just kind of, like, moved away from that. And they also got rid of, like, the really boring male lead guy that she had zip chemistry with.
Mark or whatever.
Yeah. Like, Mark, he just moves to another town. Yeah.
They also He gets hired by a private construction thing. That's when the government shuts down, and he gets hired.
And then they bring in Adam Scott.
Yeah, and that's when they bring in Adam Scott and Rob Lowe.
That's when the show gets
great.
And
the show becomes great, you know?
Yeah, Rob Lowe is firing on every cylinder right now. I mean,
no, he's great on that show. He really is.
Well, we just hit the point where he broke up with Ann. And she didn't realize that he broke up with him because he was so nice about it.
He's so nice. He's so pleasant.
He's like, I was wondering why you kissed me whenever you left to go to work. it's pretty great.
But, I don't know, I didn't hate the last season of the show, but it was uneven. I'm glad they got over the Ron and Leslie hate each other thing very quickly because, the show doesn't work then.
It didn't work, and I don't even think the wrap-up to that really worked all that well anyway.
Well, whatever. Just because they just kept out of it.
It's like they had to get out of it.
Yeah.
Well, I can still find something wrong with that. I don't have to gloss over it. It's just I feel like it kind of hurt the season at the beginning and was like a slingshot effect and continued to hurt it even if they did make up. It just was like
I think the fact that they didn't plan to do this season originally kind of hurt it in some ways.
I agree with you on that.
Cuz it seems like
absolutely.
I don't know. I don't think they thought they were coming back. But I don't know. I was sad that John Hamm didn't get to appear one last time. This is like a thing. Because, you know, they introduced joke, and then they only do it twice.
That was kind of sad. I would have liked that, too.
Who was John Hamm?
He just shows up.
He's just a scrub. Yeah. He's just some dude. It's dumb. It's the joke. It's just, hey, everybody! And then he just walks off camera.
I like that Kyle
You were fired!
I like that Kyle guy shows up at the end on the last episode, because he's always on Andy Shushine booth.
Kyle?
He's the guy up on the fourth floor whenever they...
Oh, right, the weird old dude.
Yeah.
Who?
The one who was, like, looking at April or whatever when they went up the...
Whenever they go up to the fourth floor to file the paperwork, the guy that's sitting there, Kyle, he's been on... He was on a bunch of season two and season three, on Andy's shoeshine booth.
It's been about five...
He's always the guy that Andy was signing the shoes on.
I see.
And then he'd always kick him off whenever April would show up.
Yep. He'd always put down his paper or something and kick him out. Yeah. Get out of here. But...
Shut up, Andy.
I don't know. There was some neat stuff.
Yep.
I still don't know if it was worth watching the last two seasons, but...
Probably wasn't.
I don't know. I don't know what other people thought of it. I'm curious.
No one's talked about it, so I have no idea.
David told me that other people he's talked to thought the season before this was the funniest it had ever been.
Well, okay.
And I'm like...
We just can't listen to them then.
Weird. I mean, I don't know. You know how picky I can be, James.
Was season six 13 episodes, or was it a full... season? I don't remember.
I think it was a full season. If it wasn't, it definitely fucking felt like it.
It was a full season.
Oh my god, oh man, I never thought some half hours could ever go that slowly sometimes. I really didn't. Oh boy. Boy, oh boy.
But in terms of finales of sitcoms that I've loved, it's in the...
This is the first one I've ever seen.
You've never seen the Cheers finale?
Not having seen the whole series.
Oh, okay.
I think I've seen the Friends finale. And I know I've seen the Seinfeld one, but I haven't seen all of those. This is the only show I've ever watched
all the way through and saw the finale.
Not a drama.
Interesting.
That I have seen the finale of.
Interesting. Well, that's neat.
Yeah, so.
This is probably like the mid to low range for me.
I mean, right? Do I watch any other comedies, really?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, it didn't have a finale, so.
Yeah, but I mean, he could come back at any time.
Yeah. He said on Stern it probably is never coming back.
No! Then again, that New York season's a good one to go out on because it's incredible.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Every season. Curb's great.
He really is.
Curb's one of the best. He should just do a 2-hour finale movie.
Oh, wait. No, I saw Eastbound and Down.
Eastbound and Down.
You know, I saw the finale of that having watched the whole show all the way through.
It's a good finale, though.
It's a good finale.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Friends is the only sitcom that I've ever watched all the way through and then watched the finale.
Good Lord, I don't want to reveal how many I've seen that.
All of them.
Frasier. I've seen all of Frasier.
Yeah. Bob Newhart Show, Newhart.
Get Smart. Newhart and saw the finale of Newhart, but I don't think I've seen every episode of Newhart.
I've seen
it. That may be the case, but.
Bewitched.
Actually, I guess I technically did it twice with Eastbound and Down, because remember the third season was also going to be the ending.
That's true.
And then they did the fourth season.
That's true.
And divides people so much. I love it. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'm sure I've seen some, but I don't think they were planned finales. The show just got canceled and come back.
Oh, Cosby Show. Yeah, yeah. I've seen all the Cosby Show and the finale of that.
I mean, hell, I've never even seen the second season of Party Down.
Oh, what's that show that you watched every episode of but you didn't mean to? Shit.
Who,
the
me?
Ted Danson one.
Oh, Becker?
Becker, that's the one.
I watched Becker all the way through.
What an odd show.
It's funny because it always happened to be on. He was like, this episode of Becker is weird. And I'm like, I swear you've seen every episode at this point.
Like, it was such an odd show.
Yeah, because he's so mean.
I love that Becker lasted like 7 seasons.
Yeah, Becker lasted a long time.
Yeah,
but it was also on CBS. It seems if you're a sitcom on CBS, you're all aces and you can just go forever.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see when they're in, like, season 35 of Big Bang Theory.
Yes. I think they're there at this moment.
Oh, yeah?
They are for that other show.
What other show?
One with John Cryer.
That just finished this year.
Oh, that canceled? Oh, my God.
The last episode was...
I want to watch...
Is that 16 seasons?
I want to watch The Odd Couple.
I watched episode 1 of it.
Oh, with Thomas Lennon and I don't know who else.
Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry.
They have like the same style of performance. How does that work?
Well, Thomas Lennon's
Tom Lennon's the straight-laced guy and Matthew Perry's not.
Do they call him Oscar and
yes.
Do they? Okay.
Felix.
Felix. I couldn't remember that. For the life of me, I could not remember that.
So I've seen
every episode of The Odd Couple.
I looked into it a little bit.
What about Neil Simon? So what can you do?
Matthew Perry. Well, Neil Simon worked with it, and Matthew Perry like helped develop the new version of the show for TV. And I watched the first episode, and it has a very CBS feel.
Oh God!
To a sitcom, but not as bad.
Is it on
as
NBC
like,
or CBS?
Huh?
It's on CBS.
So I have to go to CBS.com to watch this stupid shit.
I guess you do.
I fucking hate it.
You do that.
But it wasn't. It was funny, but it felt very CBS.
Forced.
Forced.
Only way I can really describe it.
All right. I'll watch this.
All right. So any other movies or TV, anything?
I love The Flash. I'm just going to go ahead and say
you,
that.
Michael
I
Clinton,
love The Flash.
You piece of crap.
I love it.
You keep saying that shit just to piss me off.
No, I don't.
I know
You're not the only person in the world that I talk
am.
To. I love The Flash. And the fact that it...
Give me more.
It stopped on the...
Here! Take it! Take it all!
The hiatus begins... And you get to see Gorilla Grodd kill Clancy Brown. It's awesome.
Oh, I saw that. Like, David told me about it.
And apparently they are planning
fucking Gorilla Grodd's talking and shit.
They're very committed to it, but, I mean, people are apparently very ready to accept the goofy.
They're already talking about...
Quote-unquote.
Apparently they're going to do a... I think they're going to call it Brave and the Bold TV show.
Oh, featuring...
the Atom, Firestorm.
You mean Iron Man, apparently. That's what I was told. Apparently on Green Arrow, he's literally fucking Iron Man. They don't even show him shrinking. He flies around and
wow,
he has
really?
Like, piloting things on his shoulders and stuff.
Is that how it is, Chris?
Yep.
That's fucking pathetic.
I've not been watching Arrow, but Firestorm...
That's pathetic.
Man, I will tell you one thing. Robbie Amell did an amazing job whenever he was being possessed by Victor Garber, acting like Victor Garber.
Oh, right, because Victor Garber's Professor Stein.
Yes.
Yeah, it's cool to see him on there.
And
I like Victor Garber.
That's gonna be,
I like Victor Garber, too.
That's going to be cool because they're moving to the coast, and so that's probably what's going to happen is that... Palmer.
Yeah, but they said that it's gonna. They said it's gonna have Captain Cold, and it's also gonna have the first Black Canary,
yes,
who died on Arrow.
Or did she?
That's what half of this season's been about, is her being dead.
Or is she?
Oh my God!
I don't know.
I'm just tired of hearing
Arrow.
That.
I liked Arrow. Flash has been okay.
I'm tired.
Flash has been awesome.
What's that guy's name? Grant something or?
Oh, Grant Gustin.
God. I'm the Flash, and I have to let's go talk about stuff over in the corner, and oh my gosh.
Gwen,
hold on.
Gwen, you can't go to England, Gwen.
You can't, hey, hold on.
That's what now, he reminds me of.
Let's go upstairs and talk about this. I think that you're
and
kind of
Cisco's
feminizing
fantastic.
Me a bit.
I love Cisco.
Benjamin Cisco's on there?
You dirty... No, Vibe.
Oh, right. Vibe's on there. Is that Vibe's real name?
Francisco.
Oh, Francisco. Okay, I was going to say, his last name's Cisco?
No, but they call him Cisco. And then...
Wow, totally 90s.
He makes routers.
Does he know?
He does. And he's great. I've liked all the villains so far. The New Weather Wizard.
Heatwave sucks. Don't be...
Heatwave's fine.
Even Horseshoe, who likes the show, said, like, I've seen that guy on Prison Break. This is like... He said it was like Cowboy and Looper bad.
Yeah.
Because he knows that I hate that guy.
But the new Weather Wizard is going to be the villain, like the actual Weather Wizard.
Which cast member of Firefly will he be?
I don't know who he is. But I've enjoyed the hell out of it. I really have.
Oh, good times.
I have not enjoyed the hell of it. I think half of your enjoyment comes from my displeasure.
Really not.
I think you're a liar. Because I see you look at me when I'm angry and you're smiling like a little fucker. Like,
I just
don't lie to the people.
Like, it's literally almost, you know, I mean, they're doing stuff that is only done in the comics. That they have a telepathic talking gorilla. They have time travel.
I knew they would do all this shit. I'm not surprised because Geoff Johns is there and he's in charge, and it still sucks. So
I'm surprised at Grodd. I never thought I thought they would put like his brain in a human body, and that's how they would get around it.
I think I am recorded on this show saying I guarantee
you are. I do remember that they will do anything.
But now apparently Murmur's on Arrow. He's not shown up on Flash yet, but Murmur's on Arrow.
That's wow, weird. What a weird fucking choice. But
oh, yeah, Captain Boomerang was on Arrow instead of
Flash.
He was,
well, hey, guys, let's face it. Green Arrow's villains fucking suck. Like,
yeah, but you could just use all of DC like, instead of all the Flashes. He has his own show.
You have Merlin, and that's pretty much it.
Well, just go get something from Batman
Deathstroke.
Or something. Just get.
Well, apparently that's what the show is. It's just Batman.
Well,
because Ra's al Ghul and the League of Assassins are on there.
What's that, Chris?
That's what they've been doing for Arrow. They've been taking everything from Batman.
Is Deadshot on there?
Deadshot's on there. The whole Suicide Squad's on there. Deathstroke.
See, there you go.
They've been trying to bogart Deathstroke as a Green Arrow.
This whole season is Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, the whole. Did you say the
all
Suicide
season
Squad
three,
is?
The main yeah. villain
no,
is Ra's al Ghul.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why Captain Boomerang was on there because.
Suicide Squad.
What's
eventually?
Her. Diggle's ex wife is.
Diggle.
Amanda Waller.
Yeah. Digger.
Is Amanda Waller hot, young, and sexy on this?
Yes.
They just called him Digger, too, by the way. On the watch out for Digger.
So Digger and Diggle? Yeah. It's going to get confusing.
Yes. But... Diggle and Digger.
Because they're... I don't know. I like Arrow. I think Arrow's a
I'm enjoying Flash a lot.
Flash.
I'm not enjoying any of this shit. Yeah. It's miserable hate fuck. It's just eternal torment.
And then I really liked Constantine, and I hope they bring it back.
If they don't, you have Lucifer to watch next season, and Supergirl, and
Supergirl!
18 other shows.
God, I have to watch Supergirl.
Lucifer, I'm not that interested in, but Constantine.
Why the fuck are they making a Lucifer show?
I'm
not watching Lucifer.
Who got cast in Supergirl as a character?
Dean Cain's going to be in Supergirl.
As who?
They haven't said.
We got to watch this. This sounds fucking stupid. This sounds as much of a trailer.
He's going to be her dad on Krypton.
Yeah, I guess so.
Can you imagine if they made him Superman?
I guess just Zor-El, right?
Well, they're apparently casting a Superman for that show.
Her dad is just Zor-El.
Maybe. It might be Earth Angel Supergirl, Jace.
No. This is Krypton Angel. Cousin Supergirl.
Oh, okay. So it's not Linda Danvers? No. Isn't her name Linda Danvers, though?
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where I read that.
It's on the Wikipedia page. I looked at it the other day.
It's Linda Danvers?
It's the Linda Danvers Supergirl?
I don't know if the TV show is, but I thought that's what they called her.
It's the Krypton Supergirl. I do know that.
There's like 20 Supergirls.
Yeah, that's a different Supergirl.
It's shape-shifting space alien Supergirl.
The Matrix?
All right, I'll just do this then. Okay.
All right, Chris, what do you think?
About Alien
and
Neil
Blomkamp.
Apparently it's going to be Alien. It's going to ignore Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. Did you read that?
Yes.
He said that and then he backpedaled on it because I guess Fox was like, hey, we still have box sets to sell.
Right, exactly.
So.
But, yeah.
I mean, from looking at the art, the art looks cool.
I don't know.
I also like where he came out and said that he fucked up Elysium.
Yes, and I want everyone to read that, because as I was talking about the other day with No Country for Old Men, history has proven me right. I am vindicated. We are vindicated.
I'm telling you, everyone fucking hates that now. So I'm glad that everyone agrees with us that it was the worst movie. I mean, I still have visions of watching that movie and being like, I can't believe I'm watching this. Like, this is terrible.
Which, Elysium?
Yeah. It's awful.
Like, it is a bad movie.
Just like...
And he was like, I fell in love with the idea of a lot of the stuff, and I wanted to do something satirical, and then it just kind of got lost. And I'm like, yeah, you bet it got lost.
Yeah, no fucking kidding.
Like, because you just have that inexplicable, robot that's talking to Matt Damon about his medicine that looks like it's, carnival toy from, 1927. And then you have, the generic kind of actually Chappie-looking android soldiers that he's building. It's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know. Shoto Copley is good in Elysium, at least in the beginning when he's giving the double bird to the moon.
I love that. That was funny.
But other than that, this is a terrible fucking movie.
Awful. So I don't have hope for Alien 5 or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
I guess technically Alien 6.
It depends on how good Chappie is.
Yeah, that's kind of going to make or break him, man, and I'm not having high hopes because, that rocker chick lady, the rapper, when she speaks, I hear the grandma psychic lady from fucking Poltergeist.
This house is clear.
Yeah, that
trailer looks like fucking garbage, by the way.
I didn't even watch the Poltergeist trailer because who cares? Are any of the people that really like the old Poltergeist going to watch this?
No.
Are any of the kids that have never heard of Poltergeist going to come watch it? No. I mean, it's like making a Gremlins movie that's set on Mars. What's the point?
Why not even bother with Poltergeist? Please leave it alone.
Yeah,
doesn't Steven have control over that? Don't let that one out.
I mean, I don't know. It's just... it's like they were talking about, I don't know, what was the new latest thing? I guess it was Alien. It's like, when we watch District 9 and he gets in, the battle suit and he's getting rich, oh, man, this is awesome. It's like something James Cameron would do. I don't literally want to see Neil Blomkamp become James Cameron.
Yeah,
I want James Cameron to be James Cameron.
Yeah, I would like Neil Blomkamp to do something new and inventive.
Yeah, it's like with the Indiana Jones thing, with the new ones. I'm like, I'm okay on Indiana Jones. I don't need an Indiana Jones reboot. I'm totally at peace with just something new.
Yeah, we're getting an Uncharted movie. It's the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, maybe.
Well, if it ever gets made, which I probably won't now because what David O. Russell wants those Oscars.
Yeah.
Bad. But, yeah, it just wears me out. Like, I'm as much as I enjoy, like, the Marvel movies, like, you see how frustrated I am with the fact that they're doing, like, a Lucifer TV show, because who gives a fuck? Like,
oh, God.
Like, I love comics, man, and I'm getting, like, burnt out on every comic just being, like, a pitch for something else so they can have, like, multiple revenue streams on, like, a franchise and so on and so forth. And it's just, like, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, it just makes me not want to read comics as much. It's exhausting and counterintuitive. I don't want to do all these things. It's just enough is enough, man.
Like, I'm fine with the Alien movies we have. I think Prometheus sort of proved in a lot of ways to a lot of people that you kind of can't go home again.
It's like, we don't need it anymore. It was fine how it was, and let's just keep it.
You know?
We can make new ones.
Like, R-Dub hadn't seen Alien 3 or Resurrection, and I was like, you know, they're not great, but they're perhaps not as, like, the disasters people make them out to be.
Not
I have to
all.
Admire Resurrection for just how unabashedly weird it is.
You know, okay.
And it tries to do really different stuff.
I appreciate Alien Resurrection a lot. I think it's a fun movie because of how ridiculous it is. Now, I wanted to say something about that. It's funny we're talking about it because last night I finished Giant Robo, and one of the special features are the cast and crew talking, and they're testing the microphones in the production booth. So they have both the writer and director testing out the microphones, talking about, have you seen the new Alien Resurrection? It's from a French director, right? Yes. Did you see the director's cut? They totally changed the end. She just, I was like, what the fuck is this? It was so bizarre.
It's pretty good. I like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't need to see Aliens 2. Because I'm totally fine with Aliens.
You're not going to do better.
You know?
What are, like, you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
If you just keep repackaging this stuff, people never have any inspiration to go back and look at, like, what it came from.
If you reboot
Indiana Jones, like, are people going to go back and watch those old ones with Harrison Ford? No.
You had one shot at Aliens 2, and it was Alien 3, and they just ruined it. So what's the point? And I think Alien 3 is an okay movie. It's just like,
I don't want to discount those. And I'm like, you kind of have to discount fucking Alien 3 and Resurrection because Ripley fucking dies.
Yeah, it's like, she dies.
So she can't be in, like, you know, 20 years older than she was in 1993, guys.
So, like, obviously, like, are you going to do another clone thing and see how well that worked?
Yeah, like, I mean, she dies in Alien 3 and then they clone her in Resurrection and she's part alien.
It's like, oh my God.
Like, they do, like,
I do kind of like the weird alien hybrid at the end of that, of, you know, her baby or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Because it's a cool-looking design.
Sucked out the pinhole.
Yeah, that was awesome. I do like that movie. Now we're talking about it, I'm like,
I mean, it feels like a Jean-Pierre Jeunet movie.
Absolutely, and it's so weird, right?
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. But, like, if Chappie's bad, then I'm fine with him being on Alien because then, like, he can't do a movie. He can't live up to the legacy that District 9 implied that he might have, and they just need to put him in, like, a franchise slot where someone can coach him on what's stupid. And I hope to fucking Christ approves his casting decisions. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's just like, no, we're not putting in this terrible fucking actor. Like
these people from the band that's the most famous band on the planet.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently everyone knows these people except us. When we went to go watch Kingsman, like, I looked at the poster and, like, an employee there was like, oh, I'm excited to see Chappie because D. Antwerp's in it. If that's their name, I can't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, God, I went from, this is an okay conversation to get me out of here in, like, 0.02 seconds. I want to get the fuck out.
God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'll take a pass. I mean, I guess if they're going to... The best way to discount Alien 3 and Resurrection is just, here's Hicks. All right, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm back. Michael Biehn's like, hey, guys.
Yeah, hey, guys, what's up?
I'm alive.
I don't know.
I like his interview in the making of Alien 3 when they said... My agent called and said they need they want to take a picture of me because they're going to kill my character and they want to have it on screen. And I said, no, who the fuck did that guy think he is? James Cameron wrote these characters for the future, and he's going to shit all over that. I don't give a fuck. And had I known it was David Fincher, I'd be like, oh, Mr. Fincher, absolutely. I'll take this picture for you.
But like, what did he know Fincher from?
Nothing. He said he didn't know him. This was 10 years after the fact.
Oh, okay. If he knew, like, what he was going
to
do.
Yeah, he was like, if I knew David Fincher would become David Fincher, I would have been like, of course, sir. I'll take whatever picture you want. You can put me in Fight Club.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I say this, I'll probably end up watching it.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to watch the movie. You're making an alien movie we're not going to watch.
Yeah, I haven't seen Alien vs. Predator 2 all the way through.
Right.
Remember, it was on my hotel room in Morocco New Year's Eve. Yeah.
But
I watched parts of it, and I was like, what the fuck is this terrible movie? Because the aliens and the predators hadn't shown up yet.
That's kind of a different thing, though. I wouldn't count those.
Yeah.
We did watch Alien vs. Predator.
We did. For free.
Which is the one where they nuke? Which is the one with the nuke?
I don't know. I guess the second one?
Yeah, that was the second one. I watched that.
AVP Resurrection or whatever? Yeah,
AVP Resurrection.
Where they invade a town on Christmas or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Did you ever see Predators?
Yes.
Nope. I kind of meant to.
I watched Predators.
I like Predators.
I hear it's good. Maybe not great, but, you know.
Predators is okay. Yeah.
I hear it's solid.
It's good. Yep. It's definitely not great. It's not Aliens.
Antal guy hasn't really done anything since then.
I don't know if he has done a movie since then.
Because he only did that, and then he did, like, that movie where they armored, where they were robbing the armored car.
Oh, right.
I was like, what's the name of that movie? And Armored, duh.
Did he do anything on El Rey Network?
Maybe he's the head director from Dusk Till Dawn. Or script supervisor or something, I don't know. Because him and Rodriguez are friends, and Rodriguez does not seem to forget his friends.
That's right, he did direct the fucking Metallica movie.
Oh, okay, Into the Never or whatever?
Yeah, I watched that.
Oh, yeah? How was it? Did it demonstrate that Dane DeHaan is the voice of a generation or whatever? Like Lars Ulrich said?
Yeah, no. I mean,
let's just face it. Lars Ulrich says a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a bizarre movie.
Well, people say that. They say that, like, Dane DeHaan is, like, an incredible actor.
Did you watch Through the Never? I haven't seen it. Okay.
I've seen him in roles ranging from, like, super art film to as mainstream as you can get, and like he just kind of does the same thing in every one of them.
Oh, he's directing some of the episodes of Wayward Pines.
What the hell's Wayward Pines?
That's the M. Night show, right?
What?
Yes.
Wow, somebody gave M. Night money after Earth.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's for TV, though.
Well, good luck.
It's his take on Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like Twin Peaks is from the title.
Of course, because what do they call it on Psych?
Oh, dual spires. Right. That's funny. All right.
Yeah, well, M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about Spider-Verse
comics. Doctor Doom has been around forever.
Black Cat.
TPB.
Fantastic Four.
First appearance of Dr. Octopus. The next issue of Avengers. Cable.
Ghost Rider.
Incredible Hercules. Comics. Globo. John Burke. Moon Knight.
Mr. Hyde. The original Ghost Rider was a cowboy who had a flying horse.
Thor, God of Thunder, number 25. Comics. He hears rumors of the Lizard. Between Amazing Fantasy, number 15, and Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and then Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and Amazing Spider-Man, 2, and then number 2 and number 3. Comics. 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 Comics.
Okay, what happened?
I thoroughly enjoyed Spider-Verse.
Chris?
I actually liked it too. I want to talk about... Well, I'll let you guys finish. Hold on.
James?
It didn't really end, and not a ton happened, and it was okay.
Did you read the epilogue issue?
I did. Actually, I liked the epilogue the best.
Actually, yes. I was going to say epilogue.
I thought the epilogue was the best part of the entire thing.
I don't know. But go ahead, Chris.
What were your favorite of the spinoff books?
Probably Scarlet Spiders.
Yes, that's what I was going to talk about. Awesome.
I really liked the 2099 stuff.
The 2099 stuff was excellent.
I thought it was
at the same
awesome.
Time, 2099 is just a good book. Cool
yeah, too. It's a great book.
It's a time. Like, I mean, of the like the limit, the stuff that launched
out of it. I understand. Then okay, sure, because it's not Spider Woman.
I enjoyed Spider Woman. I mean,
I didn't read Spider Woman number 4. I didn't think Spider Woman.
I actually
was bad.
Liked Spider Woman number 4 a lot.
I didn't enjoy a single issue of it in the entire Spider Verse. I thought it was all poor.
Because Spider Woman,
it doesn't help that Greg Land is there because I just don't appreciate him and his art.
Spider Woman number 4 really sets the stage for post Spider Verse Spider Woman.
Well, I'll never know what that's like. Because it's very sad because I kind of like Dennis Hopeless, and I know I like Javier Rodriguez as an artist. He was an inker, but like, I don't need to see another book that's just not Batgirl because we already have Spider-Gwen, which is already kind of not Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like to the point where like they gave her like, and Spider-Woman doesn't even have like, you know, one of the more sexually suggestive and like offensive costumes according to like, you know, modern interpretations of like that ideal. That new costume is terrible. I don't know who designed it. I hope it's not Javier Rodriguez. Boy, it's bad.
Oh, I hate it. Bad. I think it looks terrible. It looks terrible.
But, you know, I don't know. Also, the book just kind of sounds like Alias.
And who launches a book? Well, yeah, you mean like the Agent of S.W.O.R.D. Yeah, who launches a book in the middle of a fucking
like her
crossover?
Secret Identity, she rides around in that outfit. And when she goes to on a motorcycle, she rides around in that outfit. And then when she goes to fight a bad guy, she just unbuttons part of it so you can see like the logo and then jumps off of her motorcycle. And I'm like, everyone on Earth is going to know who she is. Yeah. Putting on a fucking pair of glasses and unzipping your jacket does not a fucking costume slash disguise make. But, you know, it's very much designed with cosplay in mind, which is like the modern aesthetic of every costume design going forward forever. It's either, can we put it in a movie, or can it be cosplayed? But that's neither here nor there. So, yes, Scarlet Spiders. Scarlet Spiders was probably, like, the most important tie-in, too.
I really liked it. I really liked all three of the characters. I liked the payoff. I thought it just worked really well.
I did, like, I didn't love that the fact that the secret solution to, like, defeating, like, the bad guy's evil plan or whatever was blowing up an antenna, because it seemed kind of simple. But at the same time, like, it worked, and, you know, it made that version of Ben Reilly, who we knew was going to be the one who died,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're not going to kill off the ultimate Jessica Carpenter slash Peter clone slash whatever she is.
She's Jessica Drew.
Yeah. All right, did I say Carpenter?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, my God.
It's whatever. There's a billion fucking characters here and there.
Well,
all
also,
crossover.
Two Spider-Women both named Jessica.
Yeah.
And she's technically, I think, she's Black Widow, isn't she?
Yes, she is called Black Widow, but she is a clone of Peter.
Right, yeah, she's Peter's clone.
So, and, you know, they weren't going to kill Kane because he was too important to the plot, which, yeah, that was weird. But, again, if you guys read the epilogue, like, there's a moment where they do something with Kane where it's like, well, that's really what they did? That seems really anticlimactic. And then they kind of like, oh, well, that's not really what happened. And you're like, okay, good, because that was very vacuous in a lot of ways.
Because I really like Kane as a character.
Well, I mean, I'll just say it because, you know, whatever. They kill him. They kill him in, like, I don't know, ASM number 14.
It's the last part of Spider-Verse, yes.
Yeah, and it falls very flat because it
happens.
Like, oh, wait, did he die?
Yeah.
Well, because, yeah,
because they say he's dead, and it's like, oh, I didn't think that killed him.
Morlun stuck one of his claws in through his back of his head.
Yeah, because he eats their dad.
Well,
he doesn't eat him. He kills him.
I don't know.
But
he goes all crazy arachnid on him.
But
he becomes the other, quote unquote.
But then there's a hand that punches out of the corpse.
Yeah,
so
just like my all time least favorite comic storyline of all time. Maybe changes in Spectacular Spider-Man number 18 through 23, I think. Volume 2. The Avengers is a simple tie in, which is like the worst. And why I won't read any comic by Paul Jenkins. I've talked about it before. Anyway. But yes, Kane's not dead. I don't know what Kane's going to do. It seems like there's a lot of setup for stuff that I don't even know if they're going to get to do anything with because Secret Wars is going to come along and just reboot everything so that the Fantastic Four and X-Men exist in separate universes and everything is like the movies, which is too bad because I like some of the setup.
We'll see.
And yay! The epilogue issue was really important. Like, honestly, yeah. I think it should have been numbered because it was extremely necessary.
I don't understand how there's an epilogue. It's like, that's the... That was the most interesting part of the entire fucking Spider-Verse.
The climax is just like, oh, well, Otto killed the Great Weaver. Also, bye. It's like, oh, fuck. That seems important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But...
Some pretty important stuff that happened in there that just was like...
It's weird.
Happened.
This was like the inversion of like a lot of other events where the tie-ins were probably more enjoyable than the normal story. Which... I didn't hate the story, but it did have a formula. The formula was that, like, the spiders meet each other, they talk, they make some jokes about how they're all different. The inheritors show up, kill some of them, they run off to somewhere they think is safe.
Every time.
They meet up with new spiders, they talk to them, they make jokes about how they're all different. The inheritors show up, kill a bunch of them, and then they run off to another safe place. And they do that three times until they find the radioactive world that Uncle Ben Spider-Man showed up in, and yay, I got my Uncle Ben Spider-Man, like I predicted the old man spider would be, and then it turned out to be Ezekiel, the most violent of betrayals. In comic history.
Well, yeah, but now Uncle Ben... but now Uncle Ben...
No!
Uncle Ben Spider-Man gets to live with Mayday and Benji. Though.
I know, that was so sweet.
That was one of the funniest things I ever read.
That was great.
I was like, Richard's dying here.
I really like that Uncle Ben Spider-Man goes with Mayday and Benji.
I did too, and I was relieved to know that MJ was alive because they kind of leave it ambiguous.
Yes.
But it...
I thought it was kind of weird, but... I know what you mean. It's a little bizarre.
I mean, that's the biggest death in that book is the death of Mac 2 Spider-Man. And it doesn't even happen in the main story. It's in the prelude parts, the Edge of Spider-Verse stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most frequently appearing spider character that died. Because he has, like, I don't know, something like 160 appearances, I think. So, he's important. Like, that was a big deal.
Yes.
But, boy, I really hated, even though it... Ben Reilly was a great, like, that Ben Reilly was fantastic, and that sacrifice was awesome.
See,
and
I think
sad.
That was very neat. I really like that, because you know he's the one who dies, you know, because he's, right. like, the new one, and he's the one that's the least important, quote-unquote, to, like, other storylines. But they made a really good way of justifying it. He's the one that everything else has always worked out for.
Yep.
And I really like that.
Yep.
It's like, he's the guy who's always had good luck. He's always the one that, like, you know, like, had... the right thing happened at the right time, and now, like, he has to, like, you know, live up to that, like, you know, good fortune. So it actually gave it a lot more meaning than you would expect to have out of, like, I don't know, five issues of this character appearing, and then, like, whatever, like, contextual background you assign from your familiarity with other versions of him. Mm-hmm. So it was a neat trick. It was very cool.
I also like the new, well... Grand Weaver is dead, long live the Weaver, you know.
Yeah, the thing with Karn was cool, and I was expecting him to come back. I mean, you know, there were two things that we knew were going to happen. One, Cosmic Spider-Man was going to die, and two, Karn was going to come back and do the heel face turn.
And I like the fact that he's the Weaver.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
And so he was the Weaver.
There. I know, it was time travel.
Yeah.
That's what made that epilogue so neat. Like, there was a lot of stuff in there.
And I really kind of like the fact that, you know, the Spider-Verse... Secret Wars book is going to be...
Captain Britain and Aranya.
Yeah.
Weird.
Dude, they've been trying to find something for Aranya to do
forever. Know. It's just like, that's the... I don't know.
Hey, man, she has ultimate superhero life insurance forever. There is nothing more offensive right now than killing a female character.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she will go on forever despite nobody
female
caring about her.
Female ethnic character, yes. And it's funny how she said... I mean, her reasoning was like, you know... There's a million Spider Girls every week.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
every time I turn around, there's a new Spider Girl.
So, I mean, it makes sense. It's
just weird that team up is weird.
I like the Captain Britain Spider Man.
I thought he was great.
Much as we've talked about, you know, the whole
Punk Rock Spider Man was the worst.
As we've talked about the whole, you know, the incursions thing and all the new Avengers stuff, I like how they put that in there and said, "Oh, you can't go home."
Well, the fact that Captain Britain world's gone is a big fucking deal, so I wonder if that didn't happen in, like, the new issue, New Avengers. Like, it's a big fucking deal.
It's a pretty big deal.
Like, whoops.
Well, no. His world is gone, but the Nexus where the Captain Britain's is not
Nova
yet.
Roma is. Okay.
Right. But apparently...
But we never saw his home world then.
Apparently they are...
Did Superman True Brit live there?
Apparently there's a lot of... there's going to be a book set dealing with Captain Britain out of Nova Roma and them doing all the.
It's the Code Geass
stuff.
World.
Yeah. But, I figured that would be a Secret Wars title, which I don't know. I'm going to have to. I haven't looked at any news for Secret Wars. I don't even know if I'm excited. We'll see, I guess. I don't know.
I'm not excited.
I mean, I really hope it's not just we're rebooting everything to be like the movies.
I don't think that it is. I don't think that they're going to do what you think. I think what they're going to do is they are going to sort of I think they're going to have fun with the alternate realities, kind of like what they did with Spider-Verse, just on the Marvel scale, because
Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies is not fun. It is lame.
but, like, because in 2099...
What?
It is lame.
In 2099, I don't know if you read...
I haven't read the one with Maestro on the cover.
Yeah, Maestro's on the cover, and he wants to go back... Because apparently Alchemax...
That issue was cool as shit.
Alchemax causes the dystopia that... Maestro survives.
Okay.
So they sent him further in his future, which I believe is why in the new 2099 book, that's why Alchemax will have the Avengers. You know?
I really love Spider-Man 2099. It's one of my favorite Marvel books. I think it's fantastic. I really love it.
It really, like, if,
it's great.
Of the stuff that, like, you know, I've read as far like I like that was my general thing is that the tie-ins were more entertaining for the most part. Jinx was the best villain, the cloning scientist guy, but he was also the most developed because like him and like the dad, and the only reason the dad seems cool is because he's like the ultimate badass. Mm-hmm. Spider-Woman pulled off a neat trick because it actually made me interested in Morlun because I could laugh at him.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing where she's trying to trick him and whatever. Like, I was like, this is pretty funny. He's like, of course you dance. Like, you're the best dancer in 1700 realities.
And oh, I'm
like,
sick. Cough,
oh,
cough.
Fuck.
Yes. I have to go take a shit. Excuse me.
Yeah, that was great.
I have to go on poop patrol or some weird shit he said.
It was so, like, it was totally undignified in the way it interacted with Morlun. And I have to appreciate anything that, like, literally goofs on Morlun as being this silly aristocrat character.
God, I'm just so distracted by Greg Land's shitty art that I just didn't get any of it.
I do have to say,
I really was. Like,
I'm really intrigued with what they're going to do with Silk, because I think she's a really fascinating character.
You know, I was going to get that book, and then I found it is from, like, the guy who writes, like, the later seasons of Supernatural. So, nope. Checking out.
Yeah.
I went and
I
looked
bought
up
it
his
just because I was able to get a variant cover.
I went and looked up his Twitter and
if
stuff.
Dan
and, I don't like the guy.
If Dan Slott was writing, it'd be way more interesting.
He created the character, so I'd hope he'd know what he wants to do with it. But the dude's like Twitter icon is like RoboCop smoking a cigarette, wearing a sweater, saying "Halt, bro," and I'm like, "Yeah, I hate you." And he had like a picture of Soundwave holding up John Cusack, and it said like "Play anything" or something, and it's just like, "Oh fuck you,
Chris." God.
So yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I was kind of interested in Silk because I like Silk, even though like this was kind of their chance to like put her over, and I don't really know if it did a great job of that.
I liked her in this. I actually got her. I finally got the character, and I appreciated her after the epilogue.
Yeah, I liked her in this a lot.
I really liked it. I thought she was neat. She was one of the better parts of the whole Spider-Verse thing. I thought.
I do love like middle of the Spider-Verse.
Even though she did just run off everywhere.
Yeah, but she's like... She's
just beating everybody else to punch.
She ends up in Peter's bedroom, you know, and then they're out swinging, and she's like, so I've come up with an idea, because we can't keep running and, you know, having this pheromone issue. You should move. You've had your time here. Now it's my turn. You should leave.
Move to Oregon like you did in Spider-Man the Final Chapter.
No, I liked in the...
with Tendril.
At the end, after he had all of his life force sucked out and she's holding him, and they go,
I like
pheromone
that.
Just
I like
go
that
working, huh? And he goes, just stop it.
I like that, too.
Yeah, no, he said,
hands.
He said, they're for me, too. And she said, are you okay with holding hands? And I go, yeah, for now I am. Right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Because he's exhausted.
I like that.
I like the way that they ultimately defeated the inheritors. You know, that was very clever.
That they didn't kill him, that they sent him to the radiation land and made them
that and Peter
lock themselves
tricks him to
up.
Falling down a hole like fucking Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
Like,
well, I like the fact that they got the one guy to go just by throwing the Solus Crystal, and he's like, "Father!"
I thought that was awesome too. I thought that was great.
But the Spider-Verse team-up issues were weird in that I really liked some of them, and some of them were just like, okay. Like the Peter Parker Goblin that showed... Peter Parker Green Goblin that showed up in the Spider-Gwen one in issue number 2 didn't really amount to anything. I think he's there in, like, the final battle.
No, he died.
Did he?
He died at the end of that book.
He opens his eyes.
I thought that was just his eyes were open dead.
Yeah, they did something that indicated to me that he was alive.
Mm.
But, I mean, if they didn't, that makes a bit more sense. But at the same time, Jerry Conway wrote that, and it was a very weird story. Because, man, I'm terrified of, like, the internet ever reading any interviews with Jerry Conway where he talked about why he killed Gwen Stacy. I'm just terrified. This dude was 19, and he was like, you know what? This will shake things up.
Yeah.
Also, she's boring. Like, he says that. He says that she's boring. Or she was boring, but... I don't know. Anyway, there were a couple of lines here and there that I didn't super love. Like, David sent me a thing where it's like, I'm his girlfriend, fridged in that universe, fridged off a bridge, which, oh my God, that's terrible and you should be shot.
Fridged, like, off a bridge?
Yes. I hate it when they adopt slang that exists explicitly, like, in the world of comics fandom, because it's like, Deadpool can say that stuff. You know? Like, I don't know. It's weird. Poor Gail Simone. I don't think she realized.
She, like, didn't know what she was
going to run away with it. And then, like, Peter had some line about, maybe you're the best Spider-Man on BuzzFeed. And he punched a superior in the face. And I'm just like,
oh, God. I know.
At least say AV Club or some shit. I don't know. Is anything a bit more fucking dignified than BuzzFeed?
I did like how... Superior it figured it out.
That's what Peter would read. You know that's what Peter would read.
It's inevitably it will be one of those things that's going to be dated, like where Peter or where May and Mary Jane Anna Watson and May are going to go watch I Am Curious Yellow in, like, Amazing Spider-Man number 87. I shit you not. And as a kid I knew what that was, but that's because I read a lot of fucking film encyclopedias. Anyway, Chris, what were you saying?
I said I like how Superior Spider-Man, how he figured it out that that he wasn't going to win.
That was my biggest problem with, like, issue 13 or something, is because Peter lets something slip where he's like, wait a minute, he's my future. And I'm like, man, do something with that. And then they didn't in issue 14, and I was really irritated. But then
they followed it up. And
that
was
good. Then he cuts the damn web.
Yeah, that was great.
Yes. He kills the Weaver and is like, fuck destiny. I'm gonna fucking stay in this body.
I am the superior.
I do like.
I like that they called
him
superior. It's very funny.
And then they seed Otto coming back somehow, either as Dr. Octopus or maybe his superior. We'll see.
I'd be perfectly happy with Superior Spider-Man show.
Yeah, they do.
Leopardon got rebuilt.
Yeah, thank God for that, because the internet was super angry, which, like, that's like fucking hipster cocaine. Like, you put fucking 70s tokusatsu Spider-Man in something, and everyone, like, comes out of the woodwork, like, you know,
this is the greatest!
Yeah, it's like, how dare they do that? I adored that character.
So now I think we should have a team-up with that Spider-Man and SPDR.
Oh, I would read a Spider-Man book.
Like I was saying, I think it's criminal that he's not getting his own book, because it's way more interesting.
SPDR?
Which one?
Yeah, SPDR.
Gerard Way.
Oh, if Gerard Way wrote it? Yeah, I'd read that book.
Yeah, it was a cool book. I think that the tie-in books were interesting. The Spider-Verse one-shots, like, one and two, they were okay. I don't know what they were, like, and they went, like, the Anansi Spider-Man was not good. He's another one of the fairy tale Spider-Man characters.
I like that the animals were talking, though.
I did too.
That was funny. The Anansi story. Fine.
The best thing in the two Spider-Verse anthology things were the fucking newspaper strip thing.
I thought that was great.
That was amazing. And of course the one we already saw, the Hostess Fruit Pies thing. Like, that the gag ones were the best ones.
Those were the best ones.
And then I like the one that kind of teases, like, this one of these Spider-Man you will see in the future in Secret Wars or whatever. The one where they manage to fit on all the Spider-Man they can't show by having dialogue references to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they take off their... Because initially, I didn't realize what the difference between them was. And it wasn't until I went back and, oh, one of them has a wedding ring. Duh.
Yeah. Because they explicitly showed their hands in that one panel.
I felt like a fucking moron. But I was also reading that while my, like, hair was drying after getting out of the shower. Going through it really quick. because I was like, yeah, I don't like this Spider-Punk one at all.
Well, the Spider-Punk thing was effectively Dark Knight Returns.
Except not good, which we already had Spider-Man Dark Knight Returns. No. So it's just Dark Knight Returns.
you said not good, but, and I'm like, no. Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. Well, Spider-Man Reign is also kind of meant to be the Dark Knight Returns. It's also Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. But I did like that he was Hobie. I liked that he was the Prowler.
Right.
That's cool.
That's what I liked that,
that was a neat
bit
touch.
About it. Yeah. I liked the Spider-Man
like,
that
oh, it's
weren't
Hobie Brown.
Peter.
Yeah, those were the neatest. I like the Spider-Man that they show up to when they're going to go
yes.
recruit. When they go to recruit Karn, they're like, they have this very goofy thing. It's like, I am Aunt May, the Spider-Man. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah, I thought Spider-Man was great. Spider-Man was awesome.
Christos Gage wrote that. All the stuff Christos Gage wrote was really good.
I like Christos Gage a lot.
Oh, gosh. Are we forgetting any of the tie-in books other than 2099, I guess? Which was essential, and like that book did more to sell me on Lady Steampunk Spider than like the actual Lady Steampunk Spider story did.
All that shit.
Yeah, I actually liked her character a lot in that.
I did too.
Yeah, she was
part of that.
Well. I appreciated her.
Is the guy who wrote the pitch thing for her? That's the Silk guy.
Oh, okay.
And I did not like it, and that was before I even knew who he was. So, admittedly, there is some bias there, but most of it was that it's the Lady Spider guy.
I liked the fact that they were teamed up because it was like, you know, steampunk past and future technology, and I don't know, that was a neat little dichotomy, but
they just leave Spider-Man Noir in that bar
fucking,
and Spider-Woman.
Fucking Punisher 2099 showing up was
I know,
awesome.
That was so cool.
Okay, I loved that to death. It was the coolest fucking
he
thing.
He shoots him with a fucking rocket launcher.
Yeah, and then he melts him and he just falls through the fucking roof. That was just incredible. That was great.
And then in the book post, in the Maestro book, Strange 2099 is locked up in the cell with Miguel.
Well, just spoil the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's going to read the book, jerk.
I thought he said he had.
No, I had.
He said he had not.
I'm sorry.
I'm not surprised that Maestro showed up, because Maestro showed up in Captain Marvel.
Well, like, he's on the cover of the book, too.
He's the cover, yeah.
Great cover, by the way. But Maestro and Spider-Man 2099 tend to show up wherever Peter David can use them, which is probably why they're always so good when he writes them, because he really cares about them.
Well, you know, he's writing the Hulk's book, or Planet Hulk's, and
Planet Hulk's.
Avengers 2099. Which are the Spider-Verse, or not Spider-Verse.
Are they just suspending all normal series during that, and it's all just going to be those crazy
apparently all the series are going to take place on the islands, or in the different countries.
We'll see about this. I mean, I don't know. I have to wonder how many books there are and how many writers they had to hire. You know, if it's just like people pulling double duty or what, but we'll see.
Duty.
Double duty.
But yeah, like Spider-Man 2099 you should get, but you should just get it anyway because it's really good. Scarlet Spiders is sort of important to the plot, but it was well done. Spider-Woman was okay. There's parts of it I really liked, but it was sort of ancillary except for showing Loom World, which was an interesting location I wanted to see more of.
I agree.
Well, because you get that hint with Robbie Robertson and all them whenever they're going to
I know, that was super cool. I want to see more stuff like that.
And then, of course, you find out that the pirate captain was Namor.
I know! It was cool!
And, you know, that Jessica, you know, and then Jessica Drew takes over the pirate ship. And that was, it was really cool. But yeah,
I deserved this. In some ways, my major problem with the tie-ins was that Silk, Spider-Gwen, and Spider-Woman, they need to find a way to to make them more distinct from one another, other than that, like, you know, they're, like, I don't know. Like, the way they talked, like, the way their dialogue was written was too similar in some books and, like, different enough in other books for me to be able to appreciate who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows how to write Spider-Gwen yet. I mean, I guess Jason Latour does, since he created her, quote-unquote.
No,
but
he doesn't.
You know. I would hope he would, since, yeah, he made her and he knows who she is. Like, she's not very funny in the Edge of Spider-Verse issue, but they try to make her funny in the other stuff. But her big moment was Peter saying, I'm going to help you, Gwen. And she's like, don't you dare help me, Parker. And I hate. And admittedly, this is a personal thing. I hate that they fucking refer to each other by their last names. I fucking despise that.
Yeah, Hooper.
Shut up.
Well,
It's okay that they do.
I think with that, because I do feel like that they were trying to play off the fact, you know, where he was trying to be overprotective of Gwen, and she was railing against it because she still got some PTSD about the fact that Peter went crazy and lizarded out and died.
Yeah, they needed more of, like, the lizard part.
Right, yes.
You know? But we don't have as much to go on just because we saw that in a flashback. At the same time, I don't want to see those characters interact because I am goddamn fucking terrified they're going to do something romantic with them, and that is fucking weird.
No, I think Spider-Gwen's in her own pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope they leave her there, too.
Sure, after Secret Wars, she's totally in her own pocket.
Well, remember, that was apparently this is the opening of the Secret Wars press conference as they see something. Imagine a world where Gwen Stacy is still alive. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh.
Like, that's the first thing. Like,
well, but then also,
what about a fucking world where, I don't know, Korvac killed everybody?
Well, and there's also, I mean, one more day didn't happen.
Huh?
One more day didn't happen in the Spider-Man books.
No, it kind of already didn't happen.
But what I'm saying, though, is he's still with Mary Jane.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they show that continuation.
A world where Professor X was never born.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In some ways, like, Brand New Day / One More Day kind of didn't happen, because the big leftover from that was Harry coming back to life, and he's sort of, like, been written out of the books in a way. Like, he's in the Witness Protection Program, hanging out with, like, you know, his son by menace of all people.
Biding his time until he becomes the new Spider-Man.
I don't know, we'll see. But, oh gosh, where was I going with that?
Gwen Stacy.
Oh, yeah, like, what about a world where Uncle Ben was still alive, even though that's been a what-if before?
Yeah, it's been like 8 what-ifs.
Yeah, so is what if Gwen Stacy was still alive, yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I'm fine with Spider-Gwen. Like, Spider-Gwen is, like, you know, like a new and exciting thing. Like, Gwen just being back from the dead is way too much of, like, trying. Like, I actually found, like, an article. It's like, it's erasing Marvel Comics' biggest sin, and I'm like,
biggest sin? You guys know.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Like, I don't know.
Well, I like whenever Spider-Gwen shows up and I think it's Kane meets her and he's like, you're a clone. Fuck the Jackal, you're a clone. And, you know,
the stuff with Kane was like some of the funniest stuff.
Kane's an excellent character.
Yeah, I like that he's just an asshole.
Well, and for, you know, and for him being part of a story that shall not be named.
Yeah, that I hate.
I
can dance around enough to tolerate it. I mean, I can tolerate the Inheritors, whatever.
I guess. They're super, 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 super powerful.
Yeah, and at the same time, they're not super interesting. The most interesting they ever are is when they're not killing spider people.
Like, we're...
Like, I liked Karn, but Karn had development, because they gave him a backstory.
Exactly. He was...
Well, but Jinx, like you said, I like the fact that Jinx had spiders that he was trying to clone.
Yeah. Anyone that's conflicted is interesting, right?
I like that Jinx was, like, utterly amoral in a way where he isn't just killing people like the others were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Moreland and the mom, maybe the other sister that... The mom?
No, she's an older sister because the Karn was exiled because he led to their mother getting killed.
Okay, so the older sister, the twins, and Moreland ended up coming off the least interesting. The unstopped, like, the T-800 one, the giant one in Spider-Man 2099, Jinx... Mm-hmm. And Karn ended up coming off the best.
Yes, and Solas was...
Oh, and the dad.
Yeah, Solas was interesting.
He's all right.
Well, he had all the exposition, which is kind of why he was interesting. But overall, this was an okay event.
It was all right.
You know,
I
enjoyed the beginning of it more than I did the ending. Because
I agree
think
with
they kind of didn't stick the landing, but the epilogue issue did a lot more to settle that.
Yeah, the epilogue, but it had so little to do with the rest of it that it...
It was also had everything to do, which is the weird thing.
Exactly. It was like,
everything and nothing.
It's so weird about it is it was like all of the B stories that they didn't wrap up was in the epilogue, and all the B stories ended up being way more important than the A story. And I kind of like them just saying, like, bye to everyone. like all the spider people were like, catch you later, Spider-Man UK. He's like, catch you later, punk rock Spider-Man.
Well,
whatever.
I thought
that kind of stuff was cool. I liked all that.
Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider where Miles and the cartoon Spider-Man were.
Yeah.
Saying goodbye, and maybe you can come to my dimension next time. Man. Really? No, not really.
Like, there was some stuff that I didn't think paid off, like them going and gathering, like, the cavalry of spider people.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second, guys.
The web warriors.
Yeah, the web warriors. The best part about that, though, was fucking Spider Buggy.
Yep.
That was a great fucking joke.
Yep.
But, yeah, they spend all these time, like, keeping them off of, like, the main stage, and then they bring them in, and then they don't really do a lot.
I liked who I loved Jessica Drew bad-mouthing evil Johnny Storm whenever that she was up, you know, with the antenna and stuff, and she was like, oh, your security thing's went off. How many times do you have to complain before they just made it, before Tony made just really big colored buttons and stuff like that? I was like, oh, that's fantastic.
When he says something like they're not colored. Or
yeah. That Jessica Drew is a fascinating character. Like, I really like her.
The ultimate one?
The ultimate Jessica Drew, which, I mean, I assume she'll come with Miles whenever he is permanently in the Marvel 616.
Ah, oh, man, why?
Because the Ultimate Universe is going to get it.
I know. Just put him in his own and just wipe out all the parts of the Ultimate Universe no one cares about, which is everything else that's not him and his supporting cast.
Yeah.
Like, put him on his own planet. Like, be like Spider-Girl. Like, and just have the occasional spinoff, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't... There's too many spider-powered people in the main universe as it is.
Oof.
And, like, this story was in a... There's been two big crossovers Dan Slott that has written that are supposed to be about why Peter... In particular, our Peter is special and why he matters and why he's so unique from all the other heroes and all the other spider people. Because that Spider Island was, he's unique from all the other heroes and this is why he matters. In Spider-Verse, this is why he's different and special and all from all the other spiders. And I don't know if either of them necessarily like pulled that off to the degree that I hoped they would.
Well, I mean, I get that with, because everybody was wanting to go, everybody just thought the plan was to kill the inheritors. And Peter was the only one who really came up with an alternate plan because he's like, we don't kill. We don't kill.
We do Bugs Bunny tricks and suck them in the radioactive
right.
dimension.
Yeah. But we don't kill. And
I like that he hugged him. Anytime where someone like makes a sacrifice play to like, you know, take out the bad guy by hugging them, I always really like it. And they do the inverse of that in Unthinkable where Dr. Doom fucks up Reed's face.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty crazy.
But I don't know. I liked the crossover a lot. I liked the fact that Peter, after leading hundreds of different Spider-Men, is like, I think I can run my own company now.
Yeah, he's like, I think I'm ready for this.
Yeah. Oh, he recognized Anna Marie.
Yeah.
Anna Maria from the...
Yeah, he recognized the hologram.
Yeah.
That's what set him off. So, I don't know. I wonder what's going to happen to Anna Marie when Otto comes back. That's going to be a fun story. If we ever get to see it.
Maybe.
I think we will.
They don't just reboot everything. And, oh, Otto's just alive, of course.
I'm going to punch him in the face.
Who?
Apparently Blaine can hear us. He's over at Kinzel's, apparently.
Oh.
That's why I said, hold on a second.
He said, no, the plan was not to kill the inheritors. It's just a terrible crossover and Anna sucks. That's what Blaine said.
Wow. He can hear us really well.
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh, there's a text message back from Michael.
So sadly, we must leave you guys, but in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do, such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch. At Clinch Band and ClinchMusic.com and ReverbNation.com/Clinch. And also Facebook.com/Clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd of TVAndFilmToys.com. You can find them on Twitter at Engineer Nerd. And you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at ActionFigureBlues.com. You can follow them on Twitter at AFBlues. Our friend Gray Matter Splat, at Gray Matter Splat. Our friend David, at FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, at Lemon Juice McGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, at Newton Gimmick, him of InfiniteHollywood.com, and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!